Good last week. A new X Weekend Pokemon Snap release were announced, and that excites me. It's a long wait for them to get here, but Introverts E3 week was great to me. These are just two games in a week of exciting news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 824 of our show for this June the 21st of 2020. A happy Father's Day to everybody out there who's celebrating today. Happy Father's Day to all my favorite daddies out there, including a father right here on Orange Lounge Radio. Say hello, everybody, to Techmaster Loki, joining me thanks to the magic of Discord.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
Good.
Just untangling myself from cords.
Understandable. It's like sometimes the tech stuff ends up like a box of Christmas lights. Not joining us tonight, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. She is taking the night off to take care of some other things, but she will be joining us next week. Next week, after all, is episode number 825, and it happens to be our birthday show. Which this is 2020 has just been a strange year, and obviously these are interesting times that we're in right now, and it feels a little weird to be celebrating and all of that. But 18 years is a very long time. 825, which will be next week's episode, is a very roundish number. We'll be kind of celebrating a little bit of that stuff next week. We've been working on some stuff under the hood that I was hoping would be more of a, we're going to return to the studio and we're going to kind of have a soft relaunch while we're all here together again in studio again. But then now all these COVID things are back on the rise where we live in California and in many other places too. So I have a feeling these Discord magic episodes are probably going to continue for quite some time. So there it is. What the heck are you playing behind you this week, Loki? What is that running? I mean, I realize those on the podcast can't see video, but those on Twitch can. What is that you're running behind yourself there? Is that Kirby? You're muted, buddy. Don't forget to unmute.
Sorry, it's still the same thing as last week. It's Video Game Study Radio by Game Chops Radio. Oh. So it's like this like kind of lo-fi like video game remix stream thing that I put on, but they always have these like looping random video game anime gifs, so
okay.
I just thought I'd do it. See if I dodge out of the way here.
Okay, all right, props to them. Okay, and I see many people in chat are recognizing like Kirby64. Again, a shout out for our chatters, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, right after the Bobby Black Wolf Show. And several folks, ActDef, Sia Tabiri, recognizing Kirby64 there. SSGO100 Matt saying, the show can legally vote now, which, by the way, vote. Well, sadly, I can't register the show to vote. We all know that would be a bad thing. But myself, Loki, and Dark Soccer are certainly all registered to vote, and I hope all of you guys are as well. In fact, I think on our ticker bar at the bottom, live on Twitch, it even reminds you like how to register, which is vote.gov. It's very, very easy to get that process started. So if you are a legal age 18 to vote in the U.S., and in fact, I think if you're going to be 18 by the next election, in some states you can register now. All the rules and all that good stuff is over at vote.gov. It is Father's Day, of course, as I was saying at the top of the show. Have you been able to do anything kind of special today, Loki, and with the holiday, or?
You
muted again. I don't know why you're muted.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's because I have the kids yelling in the background. I went out and cleaned gutters, and then I got pizza from Roundtable.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. I was like, wow, what a riveting day. You got to go out and clean the gutters. But Roundtable Pizza is a good reward.
And then aside from that, you know, I've been playing Minecraft for like most of the weekend.
Oh, okay. That's good too. That's a good reward. That's nice. All right. So let's get into some video game news. And this week is kind of the continuing of E3 that didn't really happen this year. So we get all these other kind of random things that are popping up over the next few months instead. So one of the big groups or one of the big companies that would always have a big press event during E3 week would be EA. So we got their event last week, or this last week, right, Logie?
That's correct. So they were showing off some pretty cool stuff, one of which we've already were teased because it leaked out anyways. And so that was the brand new Star Wars game, which looks pretty awesome. So Star Wars Squadrons, it's going to be a 5-on-5 flight sim game, basically. And so they showed off some actual gameplay of that, and it looks pretty amazing. And it's supposed to be coming out later this October.
Yeah, it's one thing to like know the title and hear that it got leaked, but it's another one to like really see it in motion and all the things they have planned for it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, so it does look pretty awesome, and so it's going to be coming out, like I said, around October so far, unless it gets delayed. Then they announced some additional things, including Apex Legends is coming to Switch and Steam this fall. And there's supposed to be some sort of cross-play with that as well. And then they're doing a new event, Lost Treasures, which is starting this week. So that's pretty cool.
A lot of Switch fans going to be very happy about that one. Although I imagine, like Overwatch, it's not going to look quite as crisp as the PlayStation 4 version or the Xbox One version, but it's going to be portable, at least within your own home, because that game kind of requires an internet connection. But still, that portability of sorts of the game is going to be a huge, asset. And remember when portability meant you were playing, like, the Game Boy port of Mortal Kombat, which, like, I think was just straight up missing characters? Yeah. So it's a tiny little loss in graphics is probably not going to be a big deal for a lot of Nintendo fans to be able to play Apex Legends, which is free anyway. So what do you got to lose?
Right. Right. And then so it did look, I haven't really played Apex, but it's cool to see it come to other, consoles and stuff. So that's neat. I mean, everybody's been kind of porting different things over to the Switch, so it's about time they got more stuff.
Well, and also the fact that this is EA as well is and this is a title like Apex Legends, which has performed incredibly well for them. I think the fact that this is coming over to the Switch when EA just this last round with Nintendo with the Wii U kind of left Nintendo at the altar, really. I mean, EA promised all these big things. They delivered a few of them when the console first came out the gate, but because these, year-old, two-year-old ports didn't perform well out the gate, when I think a big reason why is that they were ports of year and two-year-old games that everybody had already played.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't mean to rehash drama from 10 years ago, but...
No. I completely agree. Yeah, you're right. The strategy of porting over old games to the Switch is just not a good one, which is why they're going to do it some more. And so they've got, of course, Burnout Paradise Remastered, which is coming out as well, or already came out. And then they have 7 more games coming over to the Switch from EA ports, and that's going to be over the next 12 months. So they haven't learned a thing.
These are not going to perform at the levels EA is hoping for. Apex is different because it's free. Apex will do fine. So I hope I hope there's something. I'll probably download Apex on the Switch, but I hope there's something in there that EA can kind of see.
Well, then they did show off another multiplayer game as well. It's a game called Rocket Arena, which doesn't look all that original. It's basically, it's like an FPS, almost like an Overwatch type looking game, but it's it's from EA, and so they're gonna have that coming out now with crossplay on July 14th, and that's coming to all different platforms. I honestly couldn't get excited about that trailer at all. So
although EA embracing the crossplay kind of initiative that, we've really come a long way with that in the last 2 years. And the fact that EA seems to really be embracing that and putting that in more of their games, that a polite golf clap for that.
I'm glad that happens because I know, like, was it today? Even I was trying to get my, with Minecraft, it's all the Bedrock Edition. It's supposed to be crossplay across all platforms. PlayStation 4, I swear to God, it just doesn't want to work. It does not want to work with any of them. You can't see any of your friends online. You can't play with other people. You can't access the realms that are in there. I'm surprised with it being... This announcement was almost... It was over 6 months ago that they had added that Bedrock Edition to PlayStation 4, and they still haven't resolved all that stuff yet. That's just ridiculous. And I hope that's not the same with other games across, EA and stuff. Hope they're not running into the same problems, but I would think a company like Microsoft or Mojang should be able to handle that. And I have a feeling that Sony is the one that's kind of dragging their feet.
Yeah, admittedly, I haven't tried a lot of games with crossplay. I mean, the only one that I play on an extremely regular basis is Final Fantasy 14, which is really seamless with PlayStation 4 and PC, but I think that's because it's all just running through Square Enix's servers at the end of the day. And Microsoft still is not invited to the party for some reason with Final Fantasy 14. I would have thought for sure that would have been remedied by now. Maybe it's something we'll hear about in July whenever Microsoft does their big event. But other than that, there's not a lot of... I mean, maybe... I guess I've played Rocket League a little bit here and there, but I don't know if I was playing against people on other consoles.
Right.
I guess really the only other game was No Man's Sky I was playing last week. And it was... because, you know, it's on Xbox Game Pass now. And that is now a multi-platform. But because it's No Man's Sky... and it's literally the universe, you don't exactly run across people unless you're, like, looking for it, especially when you're first starting the game.
Yeah, true. Some other stuff. So they did show off a lot of, like, indie games as well on there. So they had a game called A Way Out. Not A Way Out. It's called It Takes Two. It's from Hazelight, who did A Way Out. And so It Takes Two, it's a co-op adventure platformer. They did another one called Lost in Random, which was a game from Zoink Games. Those both look kind of cool, especially the latter, the Lost in Random. One thing I wanted to mention about Star Wars Squadrons that was pretty awesome, though, is the campaign apparently is fully playable in VR, which is awesome. So I'm definitely going to have to check that out. And that's both on PlayStation and in PC. So what else?
Have we seen EA really embrace VR yet? I'm trying to think of, like, other big VR titles EA might have been behind, and I'm drawing a blank in the moment.
I can't think of any.
So this is kind of a step for them, unless somebody in our chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Okay, see, I knew if anybody would pop in on VR, it'd be Bobby. Bobby Blackwell says they did a PSVR mission for a previous Call of Duty. Okay, so that was, like, dipping the toe in the water. Now this is, like, wading in the pool.
Call of Duty is not EA. Call of Duty is Activision. So that's not the same.
There is that, too. Yes, good call.
But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they did, like, a VR, like, it was their futuristic jet thing from Vance Warfighter, it was a while ago.
Bobby's correcting. Battlefront 2.
Oh, Battlefront 2. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, then they kind of showed off, they teased a few things from, like, Criterion, BioWare, DICE, and EA Motive, and just showed some, like, in-development stuff.
Do you know what they hold up, Loki, you're not just going to go right through that, because you know what they didn't tease from BioWare? You know what wasn't shown from BioWare? You know what we had no news about from BioWare?
A new Dragon Age?
We got, like, 4 screenshots of, and I don't even think they said it was Dragon Age. They were just like, this game that we're working on that looks a lot like Dragon Age. It's like, we got 4 screenshots from that. And nothing on Mass Effect. When it's like the trilogy remaster is the worst kept secret in the industry right now. I'm not sure why they, unless heaven forbid they canceled it, which I swear to God, if they canceled it. I'm not going to say anything. The silence is because I'm making gestures, because I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me in trouble on Twitch. But if they canceled it, I'm going to be so mad. So mad. Yes, Silent Rage says Act Death.
Silent Rage.
Perfect. Yes. They're going to get a game called Silent Rage. That's what they're going to get. That's for sure. Questbusters pointing out we still have no idea what Anthem 2.0 is either. There's still little updates on Anthem here and there, but I don't think they put anything really in the EA Play presentation there. Questbuster says there were screenshots of something that could be Dragon Age 4 when they were talking about EA working on New Worlds. Tiger Claw says, the question is, do you want a new Mass Effect after what happened with Andromeda? Yes. Does that answer surprise you? Number one, Andromeda wasn't that bad. And I wouldn't even say it was bad. Andromeda was undercooked. So my answer to that is really, yes, first, a Mass Effect remaster is going to be very hard to go wrong with, because the original trilogy was fucking great. But if we're talking about a new Mass Effect game, yeah, I'd love to see that happen even after Andromeda. But please don't release it until it's done. That's all I'm asking. That's the big thing. Yes, make it. I would love a new Mass Effect. Please, may I have a new Mass Effect? But just make sure it's done. Make sure it's done. That's all. And don't release it on one of those freaking pay a subscription fee to play it 48 hours early thing. It was a horrible idea. I don't know.
They're going to do that because of CA.
How do I shoot myself in the foot over and over and over again? See that system. It boggles my mind why they are so stubborn on that.
But the extra money I could possibly make, I need to make all of the money.
Anyway, what else did they? I'm over my BioWare moment. What else did they announce?
That was pretty much it, really.
Oh no, so no,
it was rather short.
We're just going to ignore sports.
Oh, I'm sorry,
just ignore the sports.
Okay. So they teased Skate 4, that was a big thing. They didn't show anything.
I realize this isn't the Madden show, okay? I realize there's some video games.
Didn't they already show Madden? So, like, is that really a new thing? I mean, or was that, no, that was NBA. Well, I don't know.
It's also one of those things where it's like, are you really surprised a new Madden's coming?
They announced that, look, that our next-gen sports games are going to be more next-gen, woo, without actually going into details on what it is. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't find it worth talking about because they didn't go into any details about it.
SSGO 100 Matt says, way to ignore sports with a crying emoji. Way to go. Way to go, Matt. You made Matt cry. Way to go. But
playing those games doesn't make you cry enough.
ActDef in chat says they didn't even mention NHL, though, which, I mean, now that's a good retort because, you know, hockey's the only sport that matters. That statement won't make Matt cry.
It only matter if you make them money, and unfortunately, you know, that doesn't make them a lot of money.
All right.
I'm sure it'll look great, but, like, I don't know. It's I can't really get excited about it just because they don't innovate with that. I mean, they innovate in all the wrong areas. Like, I don't need more grass physics. I need
Loki, to be more fun. Didn't you not see on the PlayStation 5 how much sweat we're going to get?
Okay. That more sweat, more real. So
okay,
makes sense.
Some folks in chat are piping up on Skate though, because that was a pretty good, big announcement.
It is exciting that they are going to make another Skate. Obviously, because they see Tony Hawk popular. Let's follow up and all these other like independent games getting made that are basically like Skate, and everybody's jumping for joy for that stuff. So they're like, okay, there's some money to be made here. But honestly, like, and I get it. Maybe it's people are just as excited about, like, the Metroid Prime 4 announcement where all it was is practically a logo. I mean, that's basically all we got. It's like, yep, it's in development. When's it coming out? No idea. Any details? Nope. Have none of those for you. So I don't know. I can't get excited about it because, one, I didn't play Skate. And then, two, no details. So,
all right.
I don't know.
Our Twitch chat is lighting up a little bit. First off, regarding sweat, some folks are talking about the sweat thing. Is that Bobby Blackwolf says they've been zooming in on beads of sweat for two console generations. The PlayStation 3 was powerful enough to show sweaty athletes, but Bobby, ray traced sweat.
Yes, you're going to see so much ray traced sweat from your camera that's about 20 feet back up in the air. You're not going to see any of that detail.
It's going to glisten.
It's not going to matter.
It's going to glisten.
On the replays. Who cares?
Okay, SG100 Matt with a realistic take here saying, in their defense, this new partnership with Steam is monumental because this opens the door for EA Sports games to come to PC finally. Fair point. As much as we might poke fun at things like Madden and so forth, they sell shit tons of copies. They're extremely popular games. FIFA is probably the biggest game in the entire world when you look at that perspective. Coming out,
they're on PC already.
Is Madden on Steam?
They're on Origin.
Okay. Well, does that really count?
I think they've given up. I think that they looked at their numbers and they're like, yeah, our experiment to put our own platform out there didn't work. Everyone's not flocking to us for games.
Hold up. I got a realistic question because this might actually be something worth considering. Is Origin available in every country? Because Steam is available in a lot of countries. Origin is not. So maybe there is something where it's going to open it up to new countries. And especially when we talk about things like FIFA, that could be a pretty big deal. FIFA is the only sports game on PC, but it seems that Madden is coming back to PC too.
They've had Madden on PC. I'm not sure why they would have not brought it each year. Maybe just it doesn't sell enough, but I don't know. Here's what I think it is. It comes down to now. So before the prospect was, well, we don't make enough on those, or we're losing like a little bit of a percentage. So say if we sell on Origin, we're not making that additional 30% off of selling that, you know, title up front. But then something happened over the last few years, and that something is we're making billions of dollars off of microtransactions. And so that losing the initial 30%, or like say, I don't know, like $6, $8 off of that title initially, isn't such a big deal anymore because they're making so much more back on just getting people to, you know, have that game. That's why you see a lot of times NBA 2K, for example, recently giving it away for free, marking it down to like under $10. I think it was even down to under $1 at one point, because they get people in there and they know they're going to spend more than that on microtransactions, and that's where they're making all their money back. Really, they should just go to free-to-play with this stuff in the first place, since they're monetizing it like free-to-play, but they're still greedy and they want to sell it for $60, but whatever. So they're going to make some additional profit that way. But that's why I think you're seeing less resistance to putting out in more platforms now, because they're realizing that they can make more of that on the back end with these games versus not putting it out everywhere.
I kind of get that. I think there's some truth into what you're saying there, for sure. So... all right. So we hit everything on the EA Play event then. We're good there.
Yeah.
Now that we've acknowledged sports and skate and all that good stuff. All right. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of games that we've been playing this week, sports games or otherwise. Loki, how was your gaming week?
It was mainly, well, it was Orna for a little bit, and then it was mainly Minecraft. So I have my Minecraft realm that I'm actually sort of playing right now, but it's auto playing, I guess. It's doing an AFK fishing farm. So we did a lot of stuff there. We've built like out different portals to different biomes that aren't near our main house, and I've expanded the house a few times. And then this week I was putting together a giant map wall, so it's like I think 12 blocks high and like 18 blocks wide. It's just enormous. So I've been putting that together and just getting prepared for the new update, which will be, I think we'll probably be talking about a little bit later, but new update's going to be coming out soon, the Nether update, and lots of stuff coming with that. So I've just been playing out with the kids.
Nice. Anything else besides Minecraft or in Orna?
That's pretty much it. I've gotten a lot. I was purchasing some stuff. So like I noticed that there was like some RPGs and stuff down dirt cheap, some indie stuff on the Switch, on the Nintendo eShop. They were down to like 10 cents or like even less than that. So I was going on the eShop. I sorted by price and I picked up a few games. Like there was a bunch of games for like a penny or like 9 cents for stuff. And so
I didn't even know that. Wow.
I was just grabbing them because I was like, well, if this sucks, who cares? It's a penny. And plus, I have Nintendo points, so it doesn't cost me anything. So I picked up a few games, and actually my kids have been enjoying those. They had a few games that were really good that were down to like $1.50. So I was like, whatever, let's just add some more stuff to that. I fixed my Switch this week because the SD card reader was bad, so I had to replace that. And then what else? Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, so I wanted to play some of the stuff in the Steam. They have that Indie Fest thing going on and play a bunch of the demos for things. Like Tanknarok was one I wanted to try out. And there is Skateburb, which is pretty awesome. And then, I don't know, plus diving into the 1,700 games or whatever they got in the itch.io bundle. So I got to go play some of that stuff eventually. I was telling my kids the other day, I'm like, well, I probably won't play most of this stuff now, but when I retire someday, I'll just have lots of stuff to play. But we know that's not going to happen. I'll just end up buying more games.
The eternal backlog.
Yes.
All right. My gaming week. So I've still been continuing in Xenoblade. I'm in like chapter 6 or 7 now. I'm really enjoying that game. I don't know what else to say. It's a fun little RPG, and been playing it in kind of short bursts, but the sheer amount of side quests there are to do in that game kind of lends itself pretty well to being able to play the game in short bursts. So that's nice. Still been playing a little bit of Animal Crossing, but I've scaled way back on Animal Crossing. Like I stopped with the turnip thing. My extent in Animal Crossing is more like helping Alan. Because he was, he got to Animal Crossing about 6 weeks later than everybody else. And so he's still building up his island, and it looks better than mine, but he's still a little bit behind. So, like, pretty much the only reason I play that game is to help him out at this point. Otherwise, I'm kind of waiting for some more seasonal events or something to kind of get me interested in that game again. Because I'm a little bit like, okay, I've kind of run out of things to do in Animal Crossing. I've actually been playing just a little bit of Pokemon Shield. Because you know that DLC came out, the Isle of Armor DLC came out, and that's a pretty big deal in the Pokemon world. I didn't get it yet. I haven't been in a rush to get it, really, because in my brain I was like, I still have content in Pokemon Shield I need to finish. Now, I did beat the game. Remember, this is a big deal because of all the mainline Pokemon games, Pokemon Shield is the first one that I beat. I got all the badges, beat the equivalent of the Final Four and all that. But I did not finish that post-game content where you actually get the legendary Pokemon. So I've started to work on that a little bit because, of course, Shane, our resident Pokemon fanatic, was kind of asking me, like, well, when are you going to get the DLC? And I was like, well, I kind of need to, like, finish the content I have before I can really justify buying new content. So I made a little bit of progress on beating some of that extra content. Also, I've remembered to start using my little Pokemon or my little Pokeball Plus when I go out and play Pokemon Go again, because you get so much of the rare candy, which is great for like getting instant levels on your Pokemon and those sorts of rewards. Because I did Pokemon Community Day was yesterday, right? They had a Weedle had Pokemon Community Day, and I was out. I played like I was doing Ingress with my Pokemon Ball Plus on the side, and I was doing a mission downtown that took me some time to finish. When all was said and done, I was probably casually playing for like 3 hours, and I got 12 of those shiny Weedles through Bluetooth. So I was very happy with the way that went. So that was kind of my Pokemon adventures for the week. Still been playing Orna a little bit myself. I'm trying to upgrade some more of my weapons and armor in the blacksmith so I can really take on some of the stronger stuff because I feel weak right now. I just upgraded into a new star level, which every 25 levels you kind of go into a new star level, which generates all the enemies in the world and things like that. And I'm really weak right now, so I need some better gear to take that on. So I've been working on that. And then I've been working a little bit with classics because, I have some minis sitting around the house. And all of a sudden it was just like, I'm going to play all my mini machines this week. So the Turbo Graphics mini that I picked up a couple weeks ago, I finally spent some like real time playing some games on that. And that was fun. And I was playing Salamander quite a bit. And Alan was watching me die a lot and laughing at me. So that was a thing that happened. And remember the Commodore 64 mini you got me?
Yeah,
I was playing with that. And I'd played around a little bit with that already. But this week I decided I want to play these random ROMs because you can load. Remember they did like a version update where you can load your own games onto it now, basically.
Yeah.
So I was having a ball with playing old Commodore 64 games on my TV. I think it started as like, I want to hear the theme to such and such game on my TV. And then that just turned into Commodore 64 night. So, that was fun. I enjoyed reliving that. So yeah, I need to figure out if I want to get one of the 6C64 biggies. Although I don't see.
Oh, when does that come out, or did they already come out?
I think it was supposed to come out late last year, but I'm not sure if. COVID wouldn't have been a thing last year. I don't know if they ever actually came out. And now I'm sure if it was scheduled for early this year, I'm sure the COVID thing has probably screwed that whole situation up. So, anyway, Fifth Dream in chat says I just beat Armor Isle DLC like 5 minutes ago. I heard there isn't a lot of story in it. But obviously the new Pokemon and when I say new Pokemon, a lot of the returning Pokemon and such, like it kind of opens up like a new type of wild area. And so there's just a lot of stuff to see and do there. That's kind of what I'm hearing about it. So it's that the story is there, but It's more about the experience in the new wild area. So, okay, so Bobby says the C64, not the Mini, but the C64 came out December 2019 in Europe. North America is listed as ASAP 2020. So I'm going to bet COVID screwed that up. Yeah. But I'm not really in a rush to get one. They didn't change any of the games in it.
Right, it's just, you know, actual size now.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of changing the games in it, did you know they added a game in a recent, like an official game to the C64? They added it in a recent firmware update. Do you know what it is they added?
What?
Farming Simulator. So somehow, somewhere, someone did a port of Farming Simulator for the C64 in like 2018 or something. And it is now like, so if you have one of those Commodore 64 minis and you haven't updated the firmware in a while, update it because now you can get Farming Simulator for the C64.
That's pretty funny.
That's the game they just keeps on giving. That's for sure. All right. So
I was going to mention. So one other thing that happened this week is my young son has been trying to get me to play Animal Crossing. I still haven't. Because I've been too busy with other things, but he got my wife to play Animal Crossing. Now she's playing Animal Crossing, so you know, that eventually happens. And now she'll be playing it more hardcore, I think.
I was going to say, didn't she get into some of the prior Animal Crossing games? Like,
yes, all the other ones. Yeah,
that's what I thought. But she didn't start this one day one.
No.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, so sometimes people arrive late to the party, and that's okay. That was like me with Mass Effect. I arrived very late to that party, but I'm here now. All right. I think that's about it for our gaming weeks. So we will move on and get into some other news that happened from throughout the week. Let's get into some other news. Loki.
Yes, let's talk about Legos. So we talked a little bit about the Super Mario Lego, which is going to be launching later this year in the U.S., or at least North America. It's supposed to be coming out August 1st. However, Nintendo announced that they're going to be launching first in Japan a month earlier on July 10th. So they'll be offering the starter course and, I guess, the Piranha Plant Power Slide and Desert Pokey expansion. I still don't know exactly how this is all going to work, but I do know because it's Lego, it is going to be rather expensive, with the entire range of sets running upwards to $590, which I might say sounds like a lot of money until you think about Lego, and that's actually pretty reasonable considering all the other lines that they have and how much some of their things cost. I think it's about in line with everything. Plus, you know, this has got a digital element with the Mario and having the whole LCD screen in there and stuff, so that's kind of cool. Definitely want to pick it up when it comes out, but they showed some more sets, including they have a Toad character as well, and Yoshi, and Bullet Bills. It all looks pretty cool. I just want a Lego Mario game now.
Interesting. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Notch actually went to Lego with the early Minecraft concept and offered them to make it their game, and they stupidly said no. So yeah, that could have been a big thing for Lego. But would it have caught on the same way if it was Lego? I don't know.
They tried. Remember, they had Lego Worlds, and it wasn't. It was okay.
Yeah, but it was a Minecraft clone. That was the problem. It wasn't Minecraft.
They really missed out.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
They kind of have the sets though, so that's okay. But yeah, they really missed out.
So you're interested in the Super Mario set, though, right? Even though it's going to cost you some money?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It looks interesting to me as well. I want to pick some of it up. But then again, I've already spoiled myself this month because I spent way too much money on that. And I think I mentioned I was going to do it on OLR, but I'm just confirming I bought that Arcade 1-Up Burger Time machine. So that's going to be coming whenever they haven't shipped yet. They're still, because of COVID and everything, has been delayed. So I don't think they ship till the end of this month. Even though they announced it back in like February, I think they've just been having some problems due to everything going on in the world. So I don't think they ship till later this month. So nobody has theirs yet. So I'll get mine when everybody else does, even though I was late to the party. So that part's kind of cool. But yeah, because I spent money on that, it's going to be very hard to justify Legos. Like, I might get something small. Like, because Legos, you know, there's going to be a large Mario thing that's going to be like hundreds of dollars or $100, I'm sure. And then there'll be tiny Lego things, right? Oh, yay. Blind bags. Woohoo. Sounds exciting.
I mean, so if it's you can get like the Star Sight, I think, selling like, it's not too expensive, but yeah, there's different size things that are going to be available.
Yeah, I may get a set, but that'll probably be the extent of it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, well, moving on, let's talk about some of the Pokemon news that came out this week, because there was a Pokemon Direct that happened a few days ago where, you know, it was most people suspected, oh, it's just going to kind of detail the Isle of Armor DLC, and it did a little bit of that, but there were also some surprise announcements, and if you want to talk about surprise, how about this? This came out of nowhere, but it was also one of those things where it was, it's about time. A brand new Pokemon Snap game was announced. That's right. They're going back and they're making a new Pokemon Snap game. This isn't
everything old is new again.
That's right. This isn't a remake of the old game. It's just the concept as a new game, because now it has the very first game was when it was in 1999 when there was only the base set of Pokemon, the base 151 Pokemon. This new one's going to have them all. So right there, it's going to be a huge change.
Is it
going to
have them all, or is it going to have the we're going to have, Pokédex Gate 2 or whatever?
Actually, that's a very good question and call out, and maybe I want to choose my words carefully because we don't have confirmation that it has all the Pokemon, so maybe it won't. However, we know that it's going to use Pokemon from every generation. Maybe we'll put it that way, that's current. So we know it at least is going to have that. It's hard to say. We don't know if it's going to include every single Pokemon or not. This is a different type of game, so I would think maybe they could do it. Maybe there still will be DLC. I don't know. It's too early to say any of that because all we know is that it's happening, and this is a game that is happening. What's also kind of curious about this a little bit, it is not being made by the Pokemon Company. This game is actually being made, or HAL Laboratory, I should say, who made the first, which, but those are, they're kind of adjacent. But anyway, Bandai Namco is making Pokemon Snap, the new one for Switch, which is kind of like, whoa, that's a little different. But, I mean, it's not that Namco hasn't worked together with Nintendo before on other things. They were part of the Triforce that created the F-Zero.
Arcade port?
Let's get
arcade port of Pokemon Snap.
Never say never. It wasn't confirmed. It wasn't talked about. There's another Pokemon Direct next week that maybe they'll bring that up, but I don't. Yeah, it's right now that's just a pipe dream, I suppose. So some other a little more minor Pokemon games were announced, but they're still new Pokemon games, and some people are going to be into this. A free to start puzzle game called Pokemon Cafe that comes out on our birthday, OLR's birthday, June 23rd. Pokemon Cafe is going to be coming out. It's a match puzzle game. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe somebody in chat can correct me, isn't it just Tsum-Tsum? Has anyone played Tsum-Tsum, the Konami Disney game where you like trace the paths? I'm almost positive Pokemon Cafe is just Tsum-Tsum. But maybe I missed a difference somewhere in there. But anyway, in this game, you are ordering a restaurant. You're running a restaurant. You're completing orders by connecting Pokemon monsters together. Yeah, it's Pokemon and it's lattes, whatever. I don't know how those things go together, but they do in Pokemon Cafe. Another game that came out now is called Pokemon Smile. It is a toothbrushing game. So it uses like the camera so that you encourage kids and a lot of adults to brush their teeth, and the camera kind of sees that, and you are catching Pokemon as a result. It's basically trying to make toothbrushing fun for kids, and it's no secret that's the audience this is aimed at. And okay, that's cute. Right. We do have to admit sometimes Pokemon is supposed to kind of be for kids. It's just a lot of adults happen to enjoy it, too. So I think cute little things like Pokemon Smile, I certainly don't have a problem with that stuff existing. So
it's cute, I guess. Are they going to make themed toothbrushes to go along with it?
Loki, there's already going to be Pokemon toothbrushes out there. You got to be kidding me. All right, I'm catching up on some comments from chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Act Deft in chat says, Bandai Namco's doing it, but it's not Bamco's first project. They also made Pokken Tournament. Thank you for that call out. That's a very good call out, is that Pokken, which is like Tekken, right? Wink, nod, was a Namco Bando thing, or Bandai Namco thing. And
an arcade game.
What am I missing in the moment?
It was an arcade game.
Oh, Pokken was an arcade game. Yes, it was. Oh, I see. You're going back on that tangent where you want Pokemon Snap in the arcades, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. I am Canadian 47 in chat. This isn't really related to the story, but I had to read this. After listening to the podcast since the early 2000s, Rob and Loki don't look at all like what I imagined. Well, and Dark Sakura is actually, she's been participating with the show on camera, but she just happens to not be here tonight. If you happen to be a subscriber to VOG Network, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, over at Twitch TV, using your Twitch Prime subscription or what have you, you can go back and look at the archives of older episodes. But anyhow, the reason why I read that comment is because it begs the question, what did you think we look like?
It's okay. We're much older now.
That's true, too. We're much older.
Maybe I did look like what you thought I was, you know, what I looked like back in the early 2000s. That's right. But now that's not the early 2000s.
I used to be skinny.
it's just not, you know, things have changed and COVID-19. And so, you know.
Yeah, the quarantine 19, that's for sure. All right. Let's see. I wanted to find, so I didn't have it on the show roll, but there was like recent data mining that happened in Pokemon Go. And I think they found some more stuff. What was that site that always has the new Pokemon Go stuff? And they found some new stuff in Pokemon Go that it looks like they're
Silk Road.
What's that?
The Silk Road.
Maybe it was that. I don't know. There's also, Thief Games or Fev Games does a lot of the Ingress teardowns. I thought they did Pokemon ones too as well. But anyway, my point was, and what I wanted to get to with that is that it seems interesting that Niantic seems to be building some type of like social network or in-game network, because you're going to soon be able to see like what games your friends are playing. But Niantic only has three games as far as I know. Pokemon Go, Ingress, and Harry Potter Wizards Unite, although that really isn't their game. That's Portkey's game with Niantic's, you know, back end. Now, of course, Niantic has that Catan game coming at some point, but that's going to be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? That's going to be interesting to see how they implement that and how that friends list works. So I'm very curious to see how that all works. So, all right. I Am Canadian says, Loki smiles a lot and doesn't rant as much. Well, he's in a good mood tonight. We don't. You missed the EA stuff earlier, actually. Maybe there's that. And Rob seems skinny enough. I'll take it.
Well, I'm also I'm in a house with other people and children.
Oh,
so, you know.
Yes.
You have to dial it back a bit.
If you listen carefully, you'll see that Loki's children have gotten the loud rantiness gene from Loki. Because you can hear him in the background. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. We got more stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. So, you know, I'm always fascinated with different games that come out that try to teach you different things. There's been several before. In fact, I know my son used to play one when he would go to his coding class to learn to code JavaScript. But this one looked a little bit more elaborate. So it's a game called Twilio Quest, and what it's supposed to teach you is actually the Twilio's communication APIs. And so it's this like pixel, retro style RPG, and it actually has coding in it, and you can actually download and play it as well. I think it's mostly for free, but they also have like different things that link back to their GitHub repositories and talk about Twilio as well. So neat that you could actually play some games and actually have them being engaging enough to learn how to code. I have no idea what Twilio is, so I don't know if that would be useful for me to learn the API calls for that, but I guess I could figure it out. But I still want to play the game.
This makes me think, okay, this whole story made me think of an old, old, old game. Okay, so the Oregon Trail. That's not the game it made me think of, but you know, everybody knows that game, right? That was made by a company called, I think it was like MECC, I think it was the name of the company. It was something like Minnesota Educational, something, something. Somebody in chat will fill in the gaps there, I'm sure, on what I'm lacking in the moment there. But that company made another game, and it was called Rocky's Boots. And if you've never played this game, it is worth a look because it really kind of turns the concept of logic, and I think programming logic is really what this game is teaching. It's teaching the kind of like how to think through logic, meaning like if, then, and, or, those types of statements that come in a lot with programming. Rocky's Boots attempts to kind of teach you this through different puzzles, and you build these, you know, big, try to open gates by putting these simple programming puzzles together within the game's interface. And it's really fascinating, and it's one of those games. Really, if I haven't already spotlit that as a classic game of the week previously, I really need to in a future week, because that was a game that I remember playing when I was younger that taught me about programming.
Yeah, and Bobby was saying the part of Twilio I worked on was an API that allowed you to send text messages. And yeah, that's basically what Twilio is. It's an API to use for different companies to send messages via SMS or Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, all these different apps with all together. So it is like an enterprise software or API, but they also have this game to kind of teach you how to use it instead of like a boring ass course that you can take online. So it's kind of a unique thing. If you want to check it out though, twilio.com/quest, and you can download it for free.
The other programming game I remember from when I was young, because now I'm in reminiscing mode, was Logo. Not to be confused with the TV network that plays Drag Race, but Logo and it's a game. I'm using it. Logo was really a programming language of its own, but they taught it in a way that felt like a game, because it was like, oh, you have this turtle and you're going to teach the turtle to draw these shapes by doing things like pen down, forward 90, right 90, go to, you know, and it's like I've been teaching this how to build simple patterns and things like that. So I remember Logo was a big thing when I was a kid. So
yeah, I remember Logo.
Yeah. Dartesius shouting Logo. Questbuster in chat says there was also an old game from the 80s from Spinnaker that had you program robots to escape a city by linking up things like and or gates, circuits, and etc. Ooh, I remember Spinnaker. I had a math game by them, but I don't know the game you're talking about, sadly.
See, nowadays they have that kind of stuff if you want to get into like even the basic stuff. You know, Minecraft even has a lot of that. They have the different education versions and stuff that they even, I was noticing with the different objects that are, they can teach chemistry in there. They can teach programming. I know they have block-based programming, no pun intended, in there as well. And plus, even just in vanilla Minecraft, they have the redstone circuits that you can create and or gates, you know, all sorts of stuff with that. And I mean, you've seen people make some pretty complicated things with that, the whole computers, emulators, you know, all sorts of things. So there's a lot of stuff out there that's accessible in game form to help even teach at a very young age.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Human Resource Machine is a great game that teaches assembler programming. It's by the same people who made Little Inferno. They also made 7 Billion Humans, which teaches even more assembler programming. So
I will have to try that because I've wanted to dabble in assembler programming at some point.
Yeah, there's all sorts of like cool little teaching games out there for that type of stuff. So I'm glad we could take a moment to spotlight this one as well and reminisce on some of the others that are out there from the way, way past and some more contemporary stuff as well. So Fifth Dream says someone should build a game in Unity to teach how to build in Unity. Meta, that has to exist. That has to exist.
I know you joke about that, but they already have those, actually. So there's these projects that you can start up now that actually have tutorials on how to build the projects or build out the projects. And so when you go into Unity, now has this like launcher program that you use to you can download different versions. You can launch, build new projects. You know, and they have templates you can start off with. So you can actually start with these different things. They have like a kart racing game. There's like an RPG, I think like a platformer. And so you can start with those and they teach you like the different basics within the game. Like I have an FPS as well. That's pretty awesome. And they teach you just like building add-ons or how to modify the code to do different things. So you learn by doing. So yeah, I understand it's a joke, but they actually do have that.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, like when it comes to like teaching people how to do things, games is a very common way to do that. Like I am a teacher. A lot of you guys don't know that, but my day job, I don't teach like kids in a school. I teach in a corporate environment, which is very different, but I still, you know, do corporate training as my job. And so believe it or not, y'all, I'm a game designer. Because I've designed games that we play in the classroom. And games are huge for reinforcements, right? And I'm sure many of you, either in your jobs or whatever, you go and you learn something. And it's always more fun when the class isn't just like wah-wah, and you know nothing but you, there's things that you participate in and you, little games that get you a little more engaged and make the learning more fun. Like using games to teach people how to do things is not a new trick. So it's just kind of it's just interesting when what is being taught is how to in turn make more games. It's just interesting. So, all right. Anyhow, Phoenix 7726 says, "But Rob, have you ever sent a student to the Shadow Realm?" Not yet, but maybe I'll try that in a future game. Never say never. So, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about interfaces. So interfaces of the systems we play games on. Some new details coming out about the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and what the interfaces might look like. The PlayStation 5 interface is going to be completely redone. They're saying a 100% overhaul of the PlayStation 4 UI. And we got a little hint of that during that PlayStation 5 preview. You remember that? They just showed it was like the push the PlayStation button to begin. And that was like all we kind of saw, like that whole thing, right? Anyway,
well, I wasn't sure if that was legit or if that was just kind of like we're making some, you know, UI for just example purposes.
I kind of feel like it was legit, but you're right. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway, apparently there was a LinkedIn thread out there that got deleted. So that's how you know it was an issue, because it ended up getting deleted. And the vice president of UX design at Sony, Matt McLaren, confirmed that the PlayStation 5 will have a redesigned user interface and said it was a 100% overhaul of the PlayStation 4 UI and some very different concepts. Also in a continued chat on that thread, saying the new operating system was more subtle than flashy, but no pixel is untouched. Hard to know what that really means, but it sounds like essentially they're building it from the ground up. They're building a brand new interface for the PlayStation 5, right? Meanwhile, on the Microsoft side, there's an update that came from some tweets that were made by a senior editor at The Verge, and then there was a report on some next-gen console interfaces saying there will be some additional things to account for some of the Xbox Series X new features, but the UI and the dash will be the same. Outside of, you know, the things you would expect to be enhanced, such as, you know, maybe some of the picture fidelity and some of the speed and things like that. But Microsoft doesn't seem to really be reinventing the wheel when it comes to the Xbox Series X. Two very different schools of thought there. What do you think?
I mean, they've been kind of developing all of the interface on the Xbox One, I think, to be like cross-platform with, you know, Windows 10. And it's just kind of this Xbox platform. So I wouldn't see them making some major design changes when the whole point is that they're supposed to be parity across these different platforms.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's why they would be doing it.
That makes a lot of sense. Yep.
I don't know.
Now, Bobby brings up a good point, and this was something I wanted to address as well. Bobby says, to be fair, the PlayStation 4's interface never changed since launch. The Xbox One's interface is completely different today than it was at launch. That is true. We don't usually see PlayStation change. In fact, I don't think they've ever completely changed their interface midway through a console's lifespan. Whereas they definitely did it with the Xbox One. They did it a couple times because they took out Kinect at one point, right? There was that whole thing. But I remember the Xbox 360 went through some huge changes during its life. I mean, huge. You remember the Blades layout that the 360 originally started with?
I love the Blades.
I loved it too, but, you know, it might be hard to fit everything we're used to seeing today in the Blades layout. So, you know, the 360 changed its layout partway through its life. So Microsoft has shown that even though it might seem to have this parity now, they might end up re-changing it 2 years into its lifespan. Microsoft's shown a willingness to do that. Sony doesn't really do that.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's changed or not. I mean, does it need to be changed unless it's like kind of broken? I would just make sure that if it's doing everything we want it to do, then who cares if it's different or not?
Yeah. I, at the end of the day, people are not going to say, oh, I love this system more because I love the UI more. Now, if the UI is an issue, people will speak up on it, such as folks in our chat right now are saying, Fifth Dream says, the fucking new PS4 dashboard or whatever they call it better be more responsive on PS5. Because, you know, right now some of these consoles, actually both of them for me, have some issues with lag input and things like input lag and things like that. I get that once in a while on both the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, and it gets really annoying. So hopefully these are things that gets fixed.
Yeah.
And Fifth Dream is asking, is that smush or not smush? It is smush.
That's smush.
Yeah, it was smush. Because this is TMI, but I don't care. His litter box is right over here. It's right off cam on the other side of a little divider wall. So his litter box is there. And for whatever reason, Mr. Smush loves to announce when he's just used the litter box. And that's what you just heard. Is that you'll hear scratch, 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 pause. Meow. Meow.
Yeah. Yeah, my cat's asleep right now in the garage. She likes sleeping out there in the hot summer.
Wow, it's hot in the garage.
It is super hot, but apparently because she's older, like it feels really good on her like bones, I guess, or something. So she'll just lay right. Well, I set up some blankets out there for her, but she'll just lay on the concrete sometimes. Sometimes she'll lay on a blanket. She was on a plastic bag earlier when I went out there. She keeps moving around, but yeah, so I don't know. But like even today, it was even worse out there because we have somebody power washing the house. And so it smells like wet dirt or like wet cat out there. And so it's just, it's hot and it's, you know, smelly and humid.
Lovely.
I don't know. But she loves it. She's just like, I'm going to nap out here all day.
Yeah, we have a total heat wave going on here in Northern California where our show is based right now. Actually, today's like just the start of it. It's supposed to be like over 100 like every day this week. Yikes. No, thank you. Send it back. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We have some more stories. Loki, this is exciting. I'm excited about this game.
Yeah, so out of left field here. I mean, I guess it's not out of left field because we've had rhythm games before. But we have Kingdom Hearts getting a rhythm game spinoff called Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. And it looks like almost like a, like if the Kingdom Hearts characters are running down the note rail for like a Guitar Hero or something like that. That's kind of what the game looks like. But I don't really know how it necessarily plays. I guess you just would hit different buttons to coincide with attacking different enemies on each of the rails, be my assumption.
Well, I heard about it on Twitter before I like saw some of the, you know, pictures and short videos and things like that of the game in motion. And my first reaction was, well, a lot of people were like, OMG, Kingdom Hearts on Switch. And then it was a music game, but still it's, you know, something. And I love music games. So cool. My first instinct was like, well, this is nice. When can we have Theatrhythm get ported to the Switch finally? But it was,
yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the thing. It was pointed out to me in Discord. This is basically Theatrhythm in 3D. If you kind of look at it and the way that they're running and what the note patterns are, it's kind of a Theatrhythm in 3D. And I was like, oh, huh. Okay. Well, I mean, I would have been into it anyway because you said Kingdom Hearts music game, and that means you're going to have all those Disney songs potentially that are going to be in this. But yeah, I'm excited to see how this turns out. I still wouldn't mind a proper Theatrhythm port. That has been on the back of my mind, especially, you know, even if they feel the touchscreen isn't good enough. There's the arcade style controls using the two sticks that you could do very easy. So I would still love to see that someday. But this looks cool and is certainly welcome at the table. So
yeah, it looks okay. It's not something I'm going to be playing, though. I don't know.
It also depends how much it costs. Like, I hope they don't try to charge like $40-$50 for this, but they might. Because I want to say Theatrhythm probably cost like $40 when it came out. I feel like. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. Moving on. Let's take a trip down memory lane and visit a classic game of the week. Every week here at Orange Lounge Radio, we like Darksoccer to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check out this game this week and play this a little bit. Well, Darksoccer is not here, so I decided to take over the segment tonight because Sorry, Loki, but when I was going through all these minis, I was like, oh, I want to talk about this. So the classic game of the week that I picked for tonight is a game called Monty on the Run. And it was a game for the Commodore 64. It was also on the ZX Spectrum, or ZX Spectrum, if you will. It was ported to some other systems as well, the Amstrad CPC, the Commodore 16. Technically, it exists on the Famicom disk system. Actually, Jellico made a port of this game on the Famicom. I think they called it Monty's Great Heart-Pounding Escape. But, like, the game is very different. So I have a hard time. All it does is it has, like, the same music and some similar platforming mechanics. But, like, you're not even playing as Monty the Mole. They turn Monty into a person or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, as this video is playing on Twitch, you're probably hearing the music in the background. And honestly, that is the reason for this game. Monty on the Run has a fucking phenomenal soundtrack when you consider this is a game from July of 1985 on the Commodore 64, which means 64 kilobytes of RAM. Now, obviously, the Commodore 64 had that SID chip, which, you know, kind of lends itself to a lot of the chiptune noise that we hear today. But I hope you guys can kind of hear some of that soundtrack in the background, because this game was known for its soundtrack. Otherwise, it's kind of a base platformer that's really hard, as a lot of these games in the 80s were very hard. The particular person that we're watching play on Twitch knows what they're doing, so they make it look very easy. But basically, you know, the Commodore 64 joystick had a joystick and one fire button. So that's all you could do. You run and you jump. And you had to time those jumps perfectly, because Monty does like a little flip every time you jump, and you will get right in the way of certain things and all the enemies that are around and things like that. The game is kind of weird. You have all of these strange levels everywhere. Like he escapes a house in the beginning, and then he's like going through a sewer system. And all of these monsters, like, I can't explain this. Like, what is it? There's an angry shoe, a beer can, and a tea kettle that are chasing him right now. Somebody was just like, let's draw random sprites, and those will be the monsters. Now, one thing I think we also have to remember is that a lot of the game developers in the 80s were on drugs. Now, I'm not saying this game was made on drugs. I'm not going to make a claim like that, that I don't have the facts to back up. But I'm just going to say, a lot of games in the 80s were made under the influence. And sometimes you see that come through.
It could
That's
be just that, you know, they ran out of
ideas. I'm not saying,
idea,
but I'm saying.
Because I've seen a lot of games, like, I remember playing, was it one of the Barbie games or whatever on the NES, and they had some weird enemies in that. So, I mean, this is kind of on par with some of those things.
You broke up for me, even though I think you came out over the feed, so I didn't hear all of that. Sorry.
So, yeah, I was talking about how, like, some games out there have really weird enemies as well. Like, I've seen, like, a Barbie game, or they had, like, the Back to the Future 2 and 3 games had some really weird enemies and stuff like that along the lines of this. Sometimes you just have to come up and be creative with what they have, and you just accept it because it's a game.
Yeah, exactly. Now, okay, a lot of folks in chat are suddenly bringing up VVVVV, which was a very big game from an indie title from... Actually, that game is probably like from 2013 or 2012. Like it's almost old enough to be a classic game of the week itself at this point. VVVVV was heavily inspired by classic Commodore 64 games, and I would argue Monty on the Run was absolutely one of those games. Not only for the fact that VVVV has a fucking fantastic soundtrack all of its own, but you're right. As you move from room to room, every room kind of has its own little name, which is something you see here in Monty on the Run as well. So I would say, yeah, VVVV was heavily inspired by Monty on the Run. Absolutely. Anyway, some other details about Monty on the Run. Monty on the Run is actually the third game in the series, but it's probably the one that's talked about the most because of, again, the great soundtrack. Technically, the first game was Wanted, Monty Mole, and then there was Monty is Innocent was the second game. Here we have Monty on the Run, and then there was Avidazane Monty, and then Moley Christmas and Impossimole was the last game in the series that they made. Impossimole, I think, actually had a port on the TurboGrafx-16, actually. But anyway, We'll save that for another day because today is about Monty on the run. The plot of the game is that he is on the run from authorities after the intervention in the miners' strike. So he escapes from his house and has to head for the English Channel and for freedom in Europe. I'm not making this up. And the last screen in this game, he gets on a ship that has a big Union Jack on it and sails away, and it's game over. It's great. Anyway, and that apparently was the start for the next game. Go figure. The Commodore 64 version was produced by Micro Projects Limited. There was some graphical input by Mark Rogers. The classic soundtrack by Rob Hubbard. The music for this version is regarded as one of the best computer game scores for the Commodore 64. Totally agree with that. Rob Hubbard said it was inspired by Devil's Gallop, and that was the tune to the radio serial Dick Barton. This theme song has been highly rated as far as Commodore 64 classics have gone in all sorts of different places. Again, there was a Famicom Disk System remake, but it was really nothing. I have a hard time calling it a remake. All it took was the title and this song for its title. This song isn't even in the fucking game on the FDS. It's just on the title screen. So it's weird. I don't know. Anyway, there's an unofficial port for Atari 8-bit systems, but that didn't happen until 2019. So otherwise, it was rated pretty well. Apparently, it was a bestseller on the Spectrum. Crash Magazine gave the Spectrum version a 94 out of 100. Now, if you want to actually play this game today, there are a couple legitimate ways you can do it. Number one, it's on the C64 Mini. That's what made me think about this game out of nowhere, is that it's actually on the C64 Mini. So if you have that, it's one of the games that's on. You don't have to sideload it or anything. It's one of the quote-unquote legit games that's on the C64 Mini. So you can check it out there. Also, if you have AntStream, which I backed on Kickstarter, I think that's a year old now. I backed that on Kickstarter a year ago, and AntStream's out in the UK. I don't know if they ever officially launched in the US. I think COVID things might have set them back, or they're in beta or something. But if you have access to AntStream, both the Commodore 64 and the ZX Spectrum versions are on AntStream. That is how I played the Spectrum version finally after all these years. And I'm sorry, the Spectrum version is garbage compared to the Commodore 64 version. Some people from their childhood memories are going to strongly disagree with me on that comment. I don't give a fuck. I stand by it because the Spectrum could not replicate this music and was just not capable of the same type of platforming that the Commodore 64 was. But I'm sure some of you overseas who grew up on the ZX are going to want to fight me on that comment, and that's fine. We'll fight. But please at least try the Commodore 64 version as well. And hey, you know, I would still say play the ZX Spectrum version because it was so popular, and it's interesting to see all the differences. You know, in this day and age, it's always about Nintendo versus Microsoft versus Sony. Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony. Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony. And we don't really talk about other companies. Once in a great while, we might talk about Google or one of these other newer players, you know, Intellivision's got a thing. But the reality is, in 85, when this game was made, you had Atari, you had Commodore, you had Texas Instruments, you had ZX Spectrum, you had MSX, you had, I mean, there was so, you had Coleco, you had, everybody had a fucking system, and games had to be ported everywhere. So, and I, oh man, one of these days we need to bring up one of those old, or you guys have to look it up, maybe somebody can link it in chat. Go find like an old 80s gaming magazine ad for a popular game of the time and notice how there's like 12 screenshots showing you what the game looks like on 12 different systems. That is something that used to be a big part of gaming in the 80s that, I mean, as much as it might feel, oh, Nintendo versus Sony versus Microsoft in this day, it was nothing compared to what we dealt with back then. Back in my day, we had to go through all of these different screenshots. Anyway, there it is. Monty on the Run, your classic game of the week, as chosen by me. Some comments from chat. Let's see. SSGO and Hunter Matt says, Rob is like, don't at me, fight me. Pretty much. Sorry. Fifth Dream says, yeah, most of these aren't ports so much as game with the same name. And beyond that, they're not recognizable. Yeah, that happens sometimes. Let's see. Pixel Paca says these game names when talking about the Monty and Mole series. Yeah, it's a little crazy. Bobby Blackwolf also says, and the best part of this is that all these games came out in the span of 1 year. Just kidding. You know what, though? Like, five games probably came out in the scope of, like, 5 years, though. So maybe a little more, because one of them was on the TurboGrafx, so that wouldn't have been till later. But games didn't take us. Games could be developed by, like, a team of three relatively quickly. So, anyway. I like Monty on the Run. Did you guys like the soundtrack? Those of you that could hear it, was it coming through okay? Hopefully it was. Have you ever, you've probably never played this game, have you, Loki? And you probably have no idea of the soundtrack either. Well, you need to fix that, because it's a great soundtrack.
Well, I heard the soundtrack in the video, but like, I have not played the game. I didn't have a my friend down the street had a Commodore 64, and all we used to play on that was a game called Kickstart. I think it's Kickstart. And it was like a little, what was it, like a dirt bike game. You could set up your own tracks and stuff like that.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. And then, yeah, I think that's all we ever played on that. Because I think the Commodore 64 was actually his brother's computer. And so he didn't get to use it very often, but sometimes he didn't. And his brother owned the TurboGrafx 16 too.
Yeah, technically the Commodore 64 was my dad's, but like that was my system. I mean, we had an Atari 2600, but I played nothing but that Commodore 64 probably until the Nintendo Entertainment System was out. And that was when the Commodore 64 finally started to sunset a bit, was like 88, 89. Although, honestly, really, Commodore 64's, well, there's still homebrew out there today for the 64. But reality is, the enthusiasm was probably still going into the early 90s, because I want to say like 88 was probably when like GEOS started to really take over on the Commodore 64, which was the graphic operating system. But I want to say that finally Commodore 64, we started to see a lot less of that when we got into the early 90s. But it was a great machine. I learned a lot from that little machine. So yeah. Anyway,
yeah, Kickstart was like the trials of the Commodore 64. So, you know, it's a side-scrolling motorcycle racing game.
That's
pretty
cool.
Fun.
I like that, though. Cool, cool. All right, let's move on. We got some more gaming news, including some rapid-fire news. So quickly, a few headlines from the week. Loki.
Yes, so this is pretty exciting. So Dead by Daylight, and I think we may have talked about this when they announced it originally, but it's actually out now. So Dead by Daylight is getting a Silent Hill expansion as well. They've been doing a bunch of different expansions with all different horror genres or franchises. So now you have the Dead by Daylight Silent Hill season. It's going to cost you $7. And I'm trying to see what it gives you as far as usually it's like a creature, so in this case,
yeah,
it's a Terminet.
And we did talk a little bit about this last week before it released, but the release is out, and now we know a few more things about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Pyramid Head is going to be the monster chasing you down, or you can play as that monster. I'm not sure who the protagonists are that they're going to have in this.
It was Heather, yeah, wasn't it?
It looks like it, based on the screenshots. So, I don't know. Looks cool. And then, of course, Silent Hill being the actual level that you get to play in as well. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, neat.
I don't know. I really should check this game out. I mean, they had like a lot of different things. They had like Stranger Things crossovers, Saw, Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Left 4 Dead. So lots of cool stuff. I'm amazed to see like this game having so many crossovers of different franchises that are owned by different people. So pretty cool.
I am Canadian47 in chat says Dead by Daylight on what operating systems? It would be for all of them, right? I mean, obviously PlayStation gets a lot
pretty
of coverage,
much, yeah.
But Dead by Daylight's on Steam. I'm almost positive it's on Xbox as well. Is it on Switch? I don't know if it's on Switch.
I don't know if it's on. No, it is on Switch. So yeah,
is
PlayStation
it?
4, okay. PC, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
So it's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, so it's like if. I don't think it's the 4v1. I think it's 2v1, maybe. Or at least I've seen. It could be maybe 4v1. It reminds me a lot of the Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th game, but with different genres and or different franchises. So pretty cool. And then this is kind of neat to go along with all these games coming back with unexpected sequels. So apparently there was a leak talking about a brand new Crash Bandicoot game called Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. And they had some box art leak for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version. It looks like it's being developed by Toys for Bob. And apparently, though, there was an announcement via Twitter from, Jeff Keighley, saying that they're going to be talking about, they're doing the full reveal on Monday, showing off what this game's about. So that's pretty cool. New Crash Bandicoot game. I guess it makes sense since the remasters were very popular. So might as well make a new one.
Yeah, it just goes to show if you kind of support the old stuff, it usually will generate the interest in the new stuff. So that's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing whatever they come up with for this game. Now that they've pretty much confirmed these leaks and basically said, yeah, okay, we're showing it tomorrow. Yeah, I saw that Jeff Keighley tweet right before we went live tonight. So, yeah.
It's hard to keep stuff secret now.
It is. It is. Well, this is no secret anymore. Cyberpunk 2077 had its release date delayed again, and that made the rounds around the internet this week, is that Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed now until 19 November, which is a throwback to an old Bomani classic. But yeah, it's been delayed. They posted a letter and basically saying that, like, the situation about... they're ironing out bugs and making sure all parts of the game are balanced and working properly. And this has caused things to basically get pushed back. And it's, I think in one sense, people are kind of going, ugh, because it's not the first time it's been pushed back. But on the other hand, hey, would you want the game to come out and be buggy and just end up shooting itself in the foot as a result? You know what? It's with COVID and everything that's going on and folks now working from home and things like that. It's for the best. You know, the delays are never fun, but at the same time, when the game comes out, and if it's as wonderful as everybody hopes it's going to be, nobody will remember the delay. Insert Miyamoto quote here, et cetera, et cetera. Witcher 3 got delayed, I think it was about 74 times before it finally came out. And then Witcher 3 was great, right? And now even has a Netflix series and all that stuff. So, right, was Witcher 3 delayed about 74 times? I think it's about right. Yeah. Give or take.
I don't remember. See, yeah. But that's the point. No one remembers how many times a game was delayed. They just remember if the game sucked or not.
Exactly. All right. SG100 Matt says, I'm fine with this. I'm going to be playing this game a ton, and I would really like it to be a non-buggy mess. It also makes me want to wait on getting it on one of the new consoles. Bobby Blackwell says, Animal Crossing was delayed. Nobody cares now. Questbuster says, not surprised it was delayed. Would rather they take their time on it than rush things. Yes. So... that part. I think everybody here understands it's going to get delayed, and that's just fine. We want to do another follow-up here to the itch.io bundle we'd been talking about for a couple weeks on the show. It was the itch.io bundle for racial justice and equality. I think last week on the show, before we signed off, we were saying, hooray, it passed $7 million. Well, get this, before they actually closed the doors on it, $8.1 million raised. That is awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, it was over 814,000 donations. That means most people were actually paying more of like an average of $10 for it when only $5 was being asked for. So that's kind of rad as well. Now, granted, I'm sure there were some people that put down like $100, $250, and there were some people that probably could only afford $5. I'm not judging, shaming, or any of that stuff. I'm just saying that's neat that the average was about double what they were asking for. That's pretty rad. So, yeah, congrats to everybody involved with that. I do want to point out, and I think it's been scrolling along the ticker bar at the bottom, but I think it's worth pointing out the itch.io efforts and the gaming community's efforts to raise money. Because, again, just because the media is talking about it less and all this stuff, it doesn't mean this fight and this struggle is still not going on. Let us not forget, the police who killed Breonna Taylor are still not in jail themselves or on trial or any of that stuff. They have not, like, what, one's been fired? Wow. You know, so we still, and that is the tip of the iceberg. So there's plenty more discussion to be had on these topics throughout our society, and there are going to be plenty more fundraisers to come. Not as many people talking about this one because itch.io rolled right into a new bundle. And I think this is worth pointing out. Now, it might not be 1,700 games, but it's still quite a few. It's it's regularly about $100 worth of stuff, 23 items in it right now. It's Chicago New Media Artists for Racial Justice, and the goal is $10,000, and they're sitting on about $2,800 right now. Now, this bundle, they're asking for $20, but you've got quite a few games in this as well that are, like, worth it right there. Octodad, Octodad Deadliest Catch. So if you're like a Bugsnax person right now, you can check that out in this bundle. Biorhythm, Plant Daddy, Antbassador, so on and so on. There's lots and lots of stuff there. So check that out. Itch.io has a brand new bundle for Chicago New Media Artists for Racial Justice. And there's going to be lots more charity events, I'm sure, in the coming months and so forth. So stay tuned. Okay. Let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates for what is coming out real soon in a country near you. Loki, how about the U.S.?
Well, we've got Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 coming out on PC, Kingdom Hearts Dark Road on Android and iOS. We've got Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary World Tour on Nintendo Switch, Little Town Hero on PlayStation 4, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And also we've got Pokemon Cafe Mix on Nintendo Switch, Android, and iOS. And last but... Oh, I'm sorry. There's actually a few more. Ninjala on Nintendo Switch. Brigadine, The Legend of Runeteria. That's on Nintendo Switch. Caller Cross Malice on Nintendo Switch. And Death Come True, Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android. And last but not least, Mr. Driller Land on PC and Nintendo Switch.
All right. Heading over to Japan, there's actually quite a big overlap. A lot of those games I just heard Loki mention also coming out in Japan this week on the Switch. That Brigadine, The Legend of Runeterra, it's a tactical RPG, it looks like. That is coming out in Japan as well on the Switch. We also have Shujo Jigoku no Doku Musume is coming out as well. This game is made in hell, a hell where girls captured by strong emotions, desires, and obstructive thoughts fall, regardless of life or death. This sounds interesting, to say the least. And I have no idea what kind of game it is, but I'm sure somebody out there is into it. Also, we have Mr. Driller Encore is what they're calling it in Japan. And that is coming out for the Switch. And I heard that in the U.S. releases as well. But it's called Mr. Driller Encore overseas. Human Fall Flat is also out on the Switch in Japan this week. So those are the Switch releases. PlayStation 4, I imagine, is some very similar stuff. Yeah, we have a game called Deathmatch Love Comedy. Wow, it's all my favorite things rolled into one title. Deathmatch Love Comedy is coming out. It is another visual novel. But basically, in this story, if a girl falls in love with you, it means you're deaf. In this game, the player is a guy who just got transferred to a new school. And if a girl confesses her love to him, he explodes and dies.
Then I think he's pretty safe. I mean, it's like...
Wow.
I don't know.
This game sounds rad.
Sounds like, it's like, woo, I'm going to live forever.
All right.
Be a jerk to everybody.
Anyhow, also coming out in Japan, that same Shujo Jiko no Duko Musume, Journey to the Savage Planet, and then FIFA 20 gets a price reduction as it moves into the Best Hits collection over in Japan. So those are the Japanese releases. How about the UK releases, Loki?
So we've got, let's see, Assetto Corsa Competizione on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. A game called Rush VR on the PlayStation 4. Indivisible on the Nintendo Switch. We've got Farmer's Dynasty on Nintendo Switch. Journey to the Savage Planet on Nintendo Switch. Dungeons 3 Complete Collection on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And that's it.
All right, let's travel to the mailbag. Every week, you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of our favorites here on the air. We do have an email this week that's in our mailbag at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we hope we'll get even more next week. But this week's email comes to us from Zeba. Always good to hear from Zeba. So the email goes like this. Hey, all. I haven't really been able to watch live lately due to my work schedule. That's okay. That's why we have a podcast as well. So I'm glad you're still with us. I do listen to the podcast, though. Thumbs up. Anyway, I wanted to talk about a game I started playing again after many years. I needed a game to play while I take a short break from Final Fantasy XIV. There is a content lull in Final Fantasy XIV right now. So I understand. I even have a new free company and I've met some new people in there. But it's just like the content's a little dry. And it's understandable. Things have been delayed due to COVID. So I've also been cheating with other games. So anyway, sorry, Zeba. I keep getting derailed. But let's see. While I take a short break from Final Fantasy XIV. Of all the games I have in my backlog, I decided to go back to Guild Wars 2. This game came out in 2012, and let me tell you, it's still very beautiful and fun. The combat still feels very fresh and easy to learn. The main story is pretty good, and there are a lot of events that people still participate in. There's even some PvP and world versus world that is separate from the PvE content that I heard is fun. However, the game feels kind of slow at first because you don't get any mounts until the second expansion at level 80. But the best thing about Guild Wars 2 is that the base game is free. I almost forgot that the game was free now until my brother-in-law looked it up. There are microtransactions in the game, but as far as I know, they don't really sell any pay-to-win items. Anyway, I highly recommend downloading it if you need to take a break from another game, like me, or if you are looking for a good free online game. I'm having tons of fun, and I'm having trouble going back to Final Fantasy XIV. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and fur dads out there, Zeba. Thank you so much for the email, and thanks for the reminder about Guild Wars 2. You know, I played that game when it was first out, and it was, I think at the time, it was more like an alternative to World of Warcraft for me, because like in 2012, I don't think Final Fantasy XIV was quite out yet. So I was playing it in the beginning, and it was very nice. I would like to go back and visit it again now that I have a better computer that will probably make the game look even better than it did in 2012, 2013 when I first played it. I couldn't, for the life of me, remember my old login. But now that you tell me that the base game is free, maybe I don't have to worry about that anymore. I wonder if, because I bought the game at one point in time, I'll get some sort of kickback if I can remember my login. I imagine it's got to be one of two emails, maybe three, that the game is tied to. So if I did a password reset on those emails, I ought to be able to figure it out and get my way back in there at some point. But that's really cool that the base game is at least free, even if I'd bought it all that time ago. So that's... Yeah, that's really cool. So, the whole chat... Oh, I didn't even see that during that email, Loki, you brought Stella. Stella's taking a nap on your shoulder now.
Well, she was standing there screaming at me, so I had to pick her up.
Okay, so a lot of folks in chat are noticing that. I had my face deep in that email there, so I didn't even notice that. Oh, pretty kitty. Okay, well, thank you, Zeba, for the email, and keep having fun in Guild Wars 2. I might check that out as well, because, yeah, I'm in a little bit of a content drought in Final Fantasy XIV. Like, I still have fun. Like, Shane and I will get on and do Fates. And we kind of find things to entertain ourselves. But it'll last for an hour or two. And then it's like, all right, I'm ready to play something else. You know, so that's cool. I'll check out Guild Wars 2 again. That's a good tip. Thank you for the email. All right. That's it for our emails. So if you want to send us an email for a future week, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to do it. Meanwhile, we're going to get to our next story. And for those watching live on Twitch, don't be alarmed. I'm just going to step away because I really badly need some water. So I'll be back while Loki takes care of this next story. Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Fortnite again. And apparently they're breaking Twitch records with a brand new event that they live streamed with 2.3 million live viewers across multiple channels on Twitch, which is apparently surpassing the previous record, which was just over 1.7 million viewers during last year's World Championship of League of Legends. This also surpassed their last really big event, which is the Black Hole event that started the game's second chapter. Well, this one now, I don't remember if it's a brand new chapter to the game or not, but basically they had some sort of device that was fighting back the storm that now flooded or sunk the whole map into water. and they have a new event now that actually has like Aquaman in there and stuff. So I actually watched like kind of a replay of it, and it looked neat. I mean, they do a lot of these big cinematic events at the change of like a different chapter or season or something like that. So I don't know. It's kind of neat, and they change up the map a little bit doing that sort of thing. I still haven't really been playing this game, but I know a lot of people really like it. It's probably going to be one of these days. It'll be like Minecraft where, you know, I just get into it like way late in the game and, you know, find out.
There's
pretty fun.
There's always these random events and things that make me want to like check out Fortnite just out of the blue. But I can't process the strategy of like building things as you play Fortnite. And I've always struggled during that game.
I don't think it matters because like my son, who's like six, he's gotten like second place in those matches before. So like, I don't know if it necessarily is a really high skill based game. I mean, aside from like, there's real competitive play, but like just running into like the normal games, I don't think that you have to be like an expert at games to be able to do it. And I think you would kind of pick up the whole building mechanic later on, but you can probably still have fun with it.
Phoenix7726 in chat says, but will there be another Travis Scott concert? That was a trip how they did that. Honestly, probably. Like, as depends how long this COVID pandemic keeps going. I mean, who's to say? I mean, I don't know. Like, without getting too far off base, I mean, the reality is we know a lot of places are spiking right now. Like, they're going up and not showing any signs of slowing down. I suppose one of the few positives about that situation, although I kind of feel like the people that will die and stuff is not a positive situation at all, but that's how you're going to get herd immunity. So I don't know. I don't know. But my point is, if this COVID thing kind of keeps going on, like think about it. The entire live entertainment industry right now is pretty fucked. Like, when was the last concert that happened?
A while ago, yeah.
I mean, I remember when Gaga did the concert at home fundraiser thing, but we all know those are special and few and far between. And I'm sure those of you that follow like drag queens like I do, you've probably seen a lot of the drag queen virtual shows. And that's really cool that they're bridging the gap and coming up with these clever ideas on how to do it. And I'm not going to knock those things. I understand they've got to make a money and pay their rent and eat their food, too. But the reality is like that's it. People are having to come up with new ideas because we can't gather right now. And we're not going to be able to gather for some time if this keeps going. So as far as when is the next Travis Scott concert happen in Fortnite, I think the realistic answer is that depends. When does COVID go away? Because if COVID goes away soon, then probably won't see those types of events very often again.
Well,
but if COVID's here to stay for a little while, you'll probably the beginning of many. Right? Yes.
Sorry,
okay.
The cat decided she wanted to walk on the keyboard. So
the cat was ready to go now.
She's like, I'm going to get up on here and walk on some keyboard. So I don't know. Like, the problem is, too, like, even though you have them locking stuff down. So, like, for those who may not live in California, they recently, the governor said, that mandated that now masks have to be worn out when you go to indoor locations.
But nobody's enforcing it, which is.
Right. Exactly. So you have. You know, like I was at the grocery store the other day, getting groceries as usual and, you know, having a mask on. And there's the people that this is intended to protect, the high risk groups, like the elderly, those, you know, really young children, like babies and stuff. These people just don't care. They're just out there.
It bothers me so much, the people that refuse to wear a mask. Like, it's just so ridiculous. And I get there are a couple legitimate reasons why someone might not wear a mask. There are a few medical conditions, somebody that speaks ASL and needs to be able to do that, and you know, just a few. But let's be real, Loki, those exceptions, they are exceptions. They are few and far between. And we're seeing way more people not wearing a mask than it makes logical sense to be exceptions. And
or just not wearing them at all correctly, like, you know, where their nose is sticking out, or I saw someone that had it around their neck, or like there was a dude that was in there, like, he had one on and then took it off to, like, go, like, look at something. He was on his phone. He took it off and just, like, was doing his phone. It's like, I mean.
When somebody, like, doesn't wear a mask, you know what that says to me? It says to me, I don't care if you live or die. I don't care. I don't care if you live or die. That's what it says when you don't, because, you know, you're wearing a mask to help protect other people. And you can have this disease without actually feeling sick. When you're not wearing a mask, you say, I don't care. I don't care if you die. That's what you're saying. And that blows my mind that you have so many people willing to look at you in the eye and say, basically, I don't care if you die. And that, like, I just want to slap them. And I'm not a violent person, and I don't condone that type of stuff at all, but I just want to slap them. Because that person doesn't care. It's so... Now, I don't, because, you know, maybe it's one of those, you know, maybe it is one of those, like, 1% of people that have a valid exception that I talked about before, but it's just so infuriating. So infuriating. Yeah. Why do I wear pants in public? You know what? I'm going to just not wear pants to the store. Why should I? I don't like pants.
They may not just,
they're uncomfortable.
They're not going to say anything.
They make me itch. It's uncomfortable. I'm not going to wear pants anymore. Why should I? I don't. It shouldn't be that hard. You know, everybody is accepted for a long time. There are signs at businesses that say, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Why is that not a problem for people? But now we just say, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service. And now suddenly it's a giant, I'm being oppressed. The government. Recall Gavin Newsom. Fuck you.
Natural selection would happen a little faster, please. I mean, I get that there's certain groups of individuals that decide that they don't want to follow any of these procedures for their own safety, and I take that as that they accept the consequences of that, but I would just like those consequences to happen a little faster, please, so we can get over with all this.
Anyway, all right, I'm sorry. Sorry, I allowed tangent train to happen, but number one, it was a chat comment that started it. You started it. All right. Anyway.
Yeah,
but it's been bugging. It's been bugging me. It's really been bugging me.
Well, yeah. Well, Tiger Clark was saying, like, you know, so I wear a face guard, you know, and that's a good opportunity. You know, that's good alternative.
Fine.
If you find that mask, it's like hard to breathe in, then that's a perfect alternative. I mean, yeah.
Look.
It's bigger, but
look, you don't have to justify to me because you're trying. I think if it's not very clear. It's very clear there are an abundance of people out there that do not give a fuck. And that's the people I'm mad at. So, like, yeah, if you have to do, like, a mask or a guard or whatever, yeah, okay, cool. Like, you're taking precautions, and that's more we can say for a lot of people. So, yikes. Anyway. Let's see. BooBlue2 in chat says, I've seen people take the mask off to talk to someone. Like, bitch, that's when you want it the most. So horrible. Anyway, I just, like, here's the thing. I'm gonna be honest about something. So, like, Alan and I have kind of tried the whole, like, let's go to restaurants again thing. And you might find that it's weird that I just went on that whole rant, yet I'm willing to go out and go to restaurants. But the thing is, restaurants are taking precautions. The restaurants that we've been to thus far, you have, you know, people are seating at every other table. You're not really sharing menus. It's not the same that it was before. There are precautions all over the place in a restaurant. However, yesterday we went out to eat, and I swear 5 minutes into the meal I wanted to get up and go. You know why? The wait staff wasn't wearing masks. People were coming in with no mask. I'm going to tell you, if I get COVID, I got it from that restaurant. And there's a part of me that's, like, kind of mad at myself for putting myself in that situation. And, like, maybe I guess I shouldn't have gone out. But I'm also kind of mad as hell that they're not following the – like, I'm not going to go back there. And after the pandemic is over, I probably will not go back there.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous, because especially those, I mean, patrons coming into those locations, I would see as necessarily like you're not going to be able to necessarily enforce that unless the actual location's enforcing or somehow they get caught. But if you know employees are not doing that, I mean, that could shut your whole place down. That's ridiculous to even risk that. But I know there's some folks that are just like, well, we're just not going to enforce it, and they can't catch everybody. You know, they're not going to be checking up on it. And there's even departments like hold, like I want to say Modesto said, well, we're not enforcing this. We're not going to arrest you because you don't have a mask on. So, I mean, that's just basically saying though, okay, go out and do whatever you want. I mean, originally, like when they were talking about not arresting folks for doing stuff, it was like, you know, if we see you out walking, you know, for exercise, we're not going to say, well, where are you going? Are you going to the grocery store? Are you doing this for exercise? Are you going to a person's house? They're not going to stop you for that because they can't. But I mean, I think when there's a regulation, and it's not like you don't know that this is a thing. They had like giant, like signs out there saying, look, this is a brand new regulation. You know, it's in bright neon. You can't miss it. It's like, how do you not know that this is a thing? You read it when you walked in. You just don't care.
Anyway, if I miss the next show, like, you know, I'm not really into like shaming people and dragging through the mud or whatever. But all I'm going to say is Loki, that Indian restaurant down the street. Like, if I'm not here in the next episode, shut them down. That's all I have to say. OK. Alan knows the one. All right. Anyway. And that is just, I'm not. It is just my particular experience at a particular place, and I'm just saying that much on the air. I don't want you to think I am painting a broad stroke. All of my other experiences have been fine thus far with plenty of precautions, but I was really, really uncomfortable with this particular one that just happened yesterday. In fact, I'm still kind of in like a how the hell did I let that happen type of thing. All right. Anyway. Let's move on to a different subject before I get depressed. Moving on, let's talk about, well, this is actually kind of sad as well. PAX West and Australia not going to be happening this year. I mean, I don't know. I stopped going to those conventions a couple years ago just because they're kind of large and out of control. I don't know. I always kind of think like maybe I wouldn't mind going again like one more time in the future. But it won't be this year, that's for sure, because PAX West and PAX Australia were canceled. They were replaced by PAX Online. PAX Online is going to be a series of live stream shows, panel discussions, video game demos, going to happen from September 12th through the 20th. That's like a 9-day event that they're going to be doing. So it's kind of like basically they're taking the panel portion of it and taking it online, adding some game demos into that as well. So that'll be kind of neat. It's like yet another game announcement event. So it's like that they won't end with the summer, but that's still pretty cool. You know, it's a bummer about what happened, but is anyone really surprised? Nope.
No, I mean, everything else has been like canceled or delayed or converted to a digital, you know, event instead. Not surprised.
Literally the only thing that I know that is still scheduled to happen right now is Dragon Con. And I think a lot of that has to do with the politics of the state that it's in right now and trying to navigate a lot of those waters. We're still not quite 60 days out. We will be in a couple weeks. All I know is that I see some interesting chess pieces with the hotels moving. Even more hotels are starting to say, if you want to move your rezo to 2021, they haven't all done it yet, but more and more of them are starting to do it. So I kind of feel like I just don't. Even if they have a Dragon Con this year, it's going to be weird, like, because I bet none of the celebrities are going to end up there. There's not going to be a parade. There's still going to be a lot of panels and stuff, and that's where I'm struggling, because actually right now I'm still supposed to go to Dragon Con. But I made a promise. I said I'm not making any calls until July, because that's 60 days out, and we're going to know more in July. And I still stand by that. Right now, my gut just kind of says I don't see, even in the state, like how it's going to happen. But we'll see. I mean, they might. It just seems like they would stand to almost lose more money putting on an event that is just like not at the level they usually do. But I mean, we'll see. There's still a lot can change in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens. So, all right. After all, our world changed in the scope of about 3 weeks, right? So
yeah.
Who knows? That's why I've been very big on. I'm not going to commit one way or the other. It might sound like I'm being very negative on things, but our world changed in 3 weeks. Who's to say it's not going to change again? So that's where my mind is at, is I don't want to make any rash decisions until I have as many facts as possible. All right. Let's move on, however, for now, and talk about maybe now some good news. Some games doing some good stuff, right?
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily good news, but I mean, it's interesting. So it's a new treatment for ADHD that is a video game that requires a prescription. So it's apparently targeted for kids with ADHD symptoms between the age of 8 and 12. And it was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The game called Endeavor RX uses a combination of sensory and motor challenges to help the player improve cognitive functioning. Interesting, though, that it also notes that the game is based on study by doctors who were on the developer's payroll. And let's be honest, I don't know the intricacies of this game, but based on the short 30-second trailer that they had, it doesn't look any different than any other, like, it doesn't look like it's something that's extremely unique. So I'm surprised that this would be a something that would be offered as a prescription, because I can only imagine how expensive that would be. I don't know. It seems a little ridiculous, but it's something that I think we've seen that there have been studies that show that like gaming can help with some of these symptoms, but I don't necessarily think it's only this game can help with the symptoms. I think it's just in general, and this happens to be something that seems to be taking on, I don't know. It sounds like there might be some manipulation going on here in order to get past that, FDA approval.
And I think it's also worth noting, though, that just a prescription isn't necessarily going to make it more expensive. Like, I don't know, but there's a lot of cheap stuff you have to get prescription for. Like, penicillin is dirt cheap, and a lot of those antibiotics are dirt cheap. And like, when I had my dental surgery recently, they gave me prescription ibuprofen, which is cheap, and some mouthwash that's also cheap. So not everything that requires a prescription is necessarily expensive. Although, I would imagine this is priced like a normal game is probably priced, but it is interesting about the whole some of the doctors are also it's interesting.
Like, to give you an idea of like you know, some of the things, the gameplay of this. So the gameplay is designed very much like a mobile runner game, where basically you have three paths and you have to dodge or collect things along those paths, and that's all it is. Like, you can't tell me that this is a unique idea. It's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of games out there are like this. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I would worry that, like, because it is something that requires a prescription and leads me to believe that, you know, even stuff that has to do with, like, other therapies that are out there can be expensive, especially when you're going through, like, you know, insurance or through anything that has to do with the medical professions. Because, you know, they're going to say, oh, well, there's development costs and stuff like that. And I could just see a higher price tag than what actually this should be applied to this. And I'm worried that, you know, with folks wondering for, like, trying to find good treatments for something like this, which I'm not even sure if, like, ADHD gets diagnosed, like, way too much anyways, but...
I do want to quickly jump in, Loki, because I think SJ100 Matt has a very important comment about, you know, what this game really does and the intent. SJ100 Matt in our chat says, to emphasize, the point of the game isn't to buy, play it, and expect it to just treat ADHD. Like, it's not gonna be like a cure, or, you know, it's not by itself going to do anything. The point is to play the game in the presence of a clinician, therapist, doctor, so forth, so you can work with that person to process with them different strategies to work through. Now that makes a lot of sense, because if you think about it, yeah. Think about all those types of things that, like, if you're treating certain types of, you know, mental or even certain type of physical conditions, there are all sorts of different tests, right? Like, you know, everybody knows, like, the ink blot test, okay? And I'm obviously, like, oversimplifying something, but, like, you know, you got to buy those cards, those paintings of the ink blot somewhere, right? Or the eye tests you do at the doctor. That book, the eye test, they got to come from somewhere, right? So even something like a game being used in treatment still has to come from somewhere. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes.
So I think that is, like, this isn't just, oh, you're going to have to buy this on Steam, but pick up your, you know, file your prescription before you buy it. No, it's not going to be like that at all. I think it's going to be the type of thing where it is, and I think SHO 100 Matt kind of puts that really great into perspective. It's another tool, like a book, like a test, like a game, that's used in a clinician's office when meeting with the patient. So, SHO 100 Matt says, someone can play this game and many may help them focus better, but that person has no idea why it's helping them focus. Working with that clinician will help that person process what they're experiencing. So, all right, let's move on. Oh, are you muted again, Logie? Or did I just lose you for a second? That was weird.
No, I'm sorry. There's people walking in out here. So
that's okay. I understand. You got a lot of busy stuff going on at home. Okay, let's move on, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Duke Nukem 3D. That's right. We're still going with the Duke Nukem news. I feel like every month.
Just coming out here on the Switch.
We've had something. Yeah, that's it. That's it. The 20th Anniversary World Tour is coming out on Switch. I believe the 20th Anniversary World Tour already exists on like PlayStation and Xbox platforms, yeah. But it's coming out on the Switch as well. It's going to have 8 new levels, which is these are already in the prior versions. But if you weren't familiar with the 20th Anniversary World Tour, there's an all new Episode 5 in the game. This is accompanied by new music from the composer from the original game, new voice lines from John St. John. So, I mean, it's just literally like more Duke Nukem 3D stuff. The Switch port will have optional gyro aiming, if you're into that. HD rumble, motion controls, and local wireless multiplayer. So that's kind of cool because, again, the Switch is the closest thing we have to like LAN gaming on a console in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of neat. And there's also going to be a remaster toggle so you can play the game with the original visuals or the enhanced ones. That's pretty cool too. Like, it sounds like what we saw like in the Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap and all that stuff. So that's pretty rad. Now, the game will be available for $9.99. But $5 for a limited time if you want to grab that a little bit early. That's pretty cool. Now,
$5.
Yeah, what's interesting about this, there's a whole other lawsuit going on now because of the 20th Anniversary World Tour. Apparently, Gearbox was supposed to have Duke Nukem free and clear of copyright infringement when it originally acquired the franchise from Apogee Software in 2010. But apparently, the original composer sued, and there's still some unresolved liabilities from this whole thing. So it's still going on. Have you been following any of this at all, Loki?
No, I haven't, unfortunately. You know, it's Duke Nukem, and unfortunately, you know, after Duke Nukem Forever came out, it's like kind of I lost interest in that franchise. I mean, unless we get like a brand new Duke Nukem game or something that's completely, you know, it has that same punch as like Duke Nukem 3D did. I can't really be too excited about it. But now, like, and they also were talking about Gearbox, and I just, you know, Randy Pitchford, I can't anymore.
That is the truth. I'm also at an I can't situation with him as well. All right. Sorry, I was typing in a quick comment in our chat room. Sometimes I multitask. Let's move on. We have just a couple more stories, and then we're going to open up for further chat comments in our listener roundtable, as well as maybe some last-minute stories if we have any. But first, we have a couple other scheduled things. Loki.
Yes, in a page of it's 2020, so of course this is going to happen. Guinness has recently announced that as of June 10th, it has decided to reinstate Billy Mitchell's previously removed high scores and achievements for Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. And they did this really produced video starring Billy Mitchell as well, talking about how they had some eyewitnesses and some additional analysis done. Don't really seem to mention what exactly that was that they did or who or what, but apparently they felt that that was merited, that they should reinstate those high scores. And then it's a good half of it of Billy Mitchell just talking up himself and how he's the original esports, you know, contender and stuff. good for him, I guess. This is just weird. I don't know. Doesn't really change anything with the Twin Galaxies stuff. So,
yeah.
And then Guinness is kind of as it is. So,
I know some people are really upset with this news, but at the same time, this is news that can now power your anti-Billy Mitchell YouTube channel for like the next 3 years, because there are entire YouTube channels dedicated to this stuff. And I don't want to sound shady or mean, like people are into whatever they're into and that's cool, but I'm also like, it's a fucking video game. Like, and this is coming from the guy who's been doing a podcast for 18 years. Okay,
I just don't like. I don't care either way. Like, I don't want. This is not like a thing I'm gonna pick sides on. It's just like, I just don't care. Like, okay, cool. You know, maybe it was Mame. Maybe it wasn't Mame. He plays a great game of Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. I'm not gonna contend that. You know, contest that. Like. Who care? I just don't care. I really don't. And it's fine. You know, good for him. I mean, hopefully he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. I've met him.
Seems like a nice,
Out of the context of any of this stuff. Completely out of the context of any of this stuff. He's a normal fucking person when there's no camera.
So like, I don't know. Like, I really don't care. I'm glad that he's got some resolution here. So at the very least, he's got his Guinness World Records. And honestly, if you're asking, you know, Joe Schmo on the street, they're going to know what Guinness is versus Twin Galaxies any day of the week. So that's probably, maybe that's a little bit more important to him than, say, Twin Galaxies. But good for him, I guess. I mean, he fought the hard fight and he's back in there. So I don't know. I'll let the drama be drama. I don't need to deal with it.
Very good point. Questbuster in chat says, a comment on an article by Ars Technica covering this suggested that the threshold for persuasive proof was much higher on Guinness's side, so they needed more to remove his records than it was for Twin Galaxies. And yeah, I've been hearing that take on it as well, and it makes sense. But at the same time, like, I'm just kind of like, there's so many other things going on in our industry. Why are we still fighting about this Billy Mitchell thing? Like, it's exhausting, everyone. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I need a nap. Anyhow. All right. Let's move on to news. Now, this is a blast from the past that I welcome. This is, I think I do, because I have many fond memories when I see this title involved. And that is that MicroProse is back. MicroProse. Now, the reason why I remember MicroProse is because that was the company logo on the loading screen of the all-time great Sid Meier's Civilization. I'm talking about the very first one on the PC years and years ago. And pretty much all the Sid Meier games, Covert Action, Railroad Tycoon, all that stuff, those are all MicroProse games back in the day. MicroProse put out a lot of awesome games back in the day. And then in 2019, the MicroProse brand was bought by ex-Bohemia Interactive developer David Ligeti, and was revived in Australia. Now, the new MicroProse has signed a publishing deal with Drakeling Labs for their games. There's two games that they're working on. One is called Operation Harsh Doorstop, and the other is Warfare 1944. Operation Harsh Doorstop is a competitive multiplayer game that does not have any microtransactions, paid DLC, or loot box mechanic. Well, that's worth celebrating. It is a game that's set in East Afghanistan and revolves around a fictional conflict between Soviet and NATO forces in the summer of 1991. Warfare 1944, on the other hand, is a World War II tactical shooter, as you can imagine by the name. And that is going to be going into Steam Early Access on July 7th. So, sadly, it doesn't seem like MicroProse is still in the business of Sid Meier games, but that makes sense. I mean, like, 2K has been putting out the Civ games for quite some time. And so, yeah, they're not going to be putting out those types of games anymore. But they are working on a new strategy game, Task Force Admiral, another tactics game called Second Front. So who knows? Perhaps the days of the tactical games and strategy games for MicroProse are not quite in the past. But for now, we're going to see that name attached a little more towards first-person shooters a little bit there. Looking in chat, Questbuster says, wow, MicroProse, one of the war game gods back in the day, along with SSI. Yeah. I Am Canadian says, MicroProse was fantastic and had super detailed manuals. Heck yeah. And the manuals oftentimes with the copy protection as well. I remember that being a thing in Covert Action, which is a very underrated Sid Meier game, just FYI. I know I've said that before, but I'm going to say it again. All right. I think that is it for the news that we had scheduled tonight. But we are going to welcome your questions in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork if you have any extra questions for us here before we wrap up tonight. While I'm waiting to see if we get any questions in chat, or you know, if there's something you want us to talk about or you have an opinion you want to get out there, shout that out in our chat room. We'll get that out here. I don't know if we have any last-minute stories, if Loki wants to get into any of those.
I was just going to mention, let's see. I was going to say that there is a Nintendo Direct tomorrow for Smash Brothers. We're supposed to learn which ARMS character is joining Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's specifically the ARMS one, right?
Yes, so that's going to take place tomorrow. So look forward to that. Apparently, there's a sequel for Desert Golfing, which was one of the earliest mobile games. It's called Golf on Mars. So that's coming to mobile.
Huh.
Pretty neat. And... yeah, that's all I got.
All right, that's all you got, huh? Any thoughts on who the ARMS character might be that they end up adding?
I don't even know who any of the ARMS characters are. Like, I don't
Twintania is the one I see a lot on Twitter. So, but I also Twintania, if I remember right, does not fight with ARMS, so that might not work out. So I don't know. Okay, so we got some questions. Okay, actually, I'm really glad this question came up. Phoenix7726 says, any thoughts on The Last of Us 2? Because we didn't get into that game tonight, and I know that was a huge release for this week. And I apologize because I talked about it with Bobby at the end of his show. I kind of, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, I've already talked about that. I didn't pick up The Last of Us 2, and I'm very likely not going to. And here's the thing. It's nothing, like, I hear the game is great, and the accessibility stuff sounds phenomenal and is worth acknowledging and recognizing. That being said, I think there's a level of violence in the game that I'm kind of exhausted on. I'm kind of over it. And I'm not, you know, I know it's weird to hear me probably say like the game is just too violent, but that's the real thing. Like I'm just not into the gore violence and animal stuff and all that stuff. And I realize it's kind of one of the points of the game and it's something about the narrative and so forth. But I also kind of recognize like, there are thousands of games, literally thousands of games out there. And that's just one narrative I'm just not interested in right now. And I was talking about this on Bobby a little bit is that, you know, it's kind of like horror movies. Like I think those Saw movies are the dumbest, most heinous thing I can possibly think of. When it comes to movies, I have no interest in those films, but I know other people love them. I volunteer a lot with the Sac Horror Film Fest here locally, which is the most ironic fucking thing. But horror and cult really intersect a lot, and I get that. But that being said, the gore side of stuff just really isn't for me. I don't like it. I don't like those Saw movies. And so it's kind of like that same sort of thing. There is a big difference between what I'm saying and that Saw movies shouldn't exist. The Last of Us 2 shouldn't exist. I'm not saying that at all. I think those of y'all that like that and enjoy that, have fun. Meanwhile, I've got 100 hours still left on Xenoblade. I'm good. I'm taken care of. What about you, Loki? Where are you at with The Last of Us 2? Is that something that's up your alley or what?
I never played the first one. So the second one doesn't really make a difference to me. I've watched some reviews regarding it. You know, aside from just the folks kind of getting angry over the fact that there's a strong female protagonist or that there's, you know, LGBTQ like elements to the game. There's like writing issues that folks are having issues with and being fans of the original game. I don't know. All that seems like drama to me. Like I never played the first one, so I hear it's a good game. I don't know what the second one got good reviews in the press, but a lot of the user reviews are kind of negative, but that seems to be the case a lot of times. I will wait usually and see what some of the trusted like YouTube reviewers that I watch, you know, that share the same opinions with like me on games, to like see what they say. But even after I see that, I probably still won't play because I didn't play the first one. And there's a lot of series that I don't play. I haven't played any of the Uncharted games. I haven't played any of the Last of Us stuff. I haven't played Until Dawn except for Rush of Blood. There's a lot of like big series games that have come out that I just haven't gotten into.
Yeah, and a lot of those like user negative review stuff, I think a lot of that is motivated because people are like, ew, it's LGBT content and it's an agenda and it's being shoved in my face and blah, blah. Like, fuck off. Like, the heterosexuality agenda has been shoved in my face for many, many years and I don't complain. So just, it's not... It's so dumb. So, I think it's great that there are the LGBT, et cetera, themes in the game and so forth. And I think that's cool. And I can, you know, there's one hand and I can say, I love that that exists. I think that's great that that's a thing. These accessibility options, that's fucking amazing. That being said, not for me. So I will have to try that all somewhere else because the hope is that those themes and the accessibility option, that stuff is well received by the masses, because we all know the bullshit on user reviews and stuff is just angry basement dwellers, and it's not reflective of what people really think, because most people that play these games aren't on video game websites. That's the reality of it. So I imagine the stuff will be strong enough that we'll see more games that aren't necessarily about like zombies and violence and things like that. And I think that'll be cool. Dr. Tsuya says, I'm inclined to agree on the violence. I mean, it was one thing when it was Mortal Kombat 2 or Grand Theft Auto, but this more recent stuff is definitely on another level. It's almost just too much at times. Bonds 006 says, LOL, each Final Destination film gave everyone a reason to be leery of the TV, the fridge, the stove, PC. Yeah. I saw that first Final Destination film, and it was... Wow. And then all I heard about the second one is that it will never make you want to drive on the freeway ever again, and that was enough for me. And but see, here's the thing. I married a guy who loves those things. He watches death scene compilations on YouTube and that stuff, and he loves that stuff. That's fine. And I love that he watches it on YouTube because it's on his phone where I don't have to look at it. So that's fine. And I understand those movies are for a certain crowd, and that's cool. It's just not me. Have fun. All right. Yeah, I am Canadian in chat says, all that matters is if the story moves you, then it's worth trying. But if you find it too emotionally draining, then maybe not, since it brings you down too much. Yeah. So I don't know, like, I don't want to speak negatively of The Last of Us 2. It's just I can look at it and go, not for me. Let's see. There were a couple other questions. So it was a great conversation in chat, though. I Am Canadian asked, has anyone played Sid Meier Pirates or Microprose game called Airborne Ranger? I did play Sid Meier's Pirates. I think they reinvented that game. I think they had to drop his name because he wasn't involved, but I think they redid it as a game called Pirates about 10 years ago, maybe longer. My memory's... So I want to say it was a game I saw at like one of the first E3s that I went to. That would have been about 15 years ago. And I did play a little bit of that. And I did play... I do remember playing the original a little bit, but not as much as I played Railroad Tycoon and especially Civilization. But I loved Railroad Tycoon. That game was great. So... Phoenix 7726 says Pirates was one of my faves when I was a lot younger. Yeah. So there's that. Do you remember any of these strategical classic games for Microprose, Loki, or no, not ringing a bell?
No, I never really played that stuff. I mean, I don't know, like the most I would get into any sort of strategy would be just like the classic SimCity. I really never got into a lot of the strategy or management sims and stuff like that. I'm aware of them and just never played them.
Phoenix 7726 in chat says, Rob, did you ever show your dad Railroad Tycoon and what did he think? Yeah, I don't know if you're remembering that my dad actually worked on the railroad for many years. He retired from that industry. So I don't know. I remember him. Yes, I do remember showing it to him. I remember showing him an old ass Commodore 64 game. I want to say the original A-Train was on the Commodore 64. And I remember showing that to him. And it was one of those things where he goes, huh, that's neat. Or like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then it was like, okay, turn around and leave. But my dad never really got into game. My dad was never a gamer. at all. And it's I don't even think today my dad really plays games. That just, for whatever reason, isn't it ironic that here I am? But I will say what my dad was into that will make you giggle. He might not have been into games. He was always really into like radio and ham radio, trucker radio, shortwave. He had one of those like radio things that was like AM, FM, shortwave with a blue, a green, a yellow, and like all these things I don't even know. And like I remember he could tune into a radio station that was in like fucking Russia or something, like on the other side of the globe, and was able to hear stuff on it. And that was the type of stuff he thought was interesting. So I also think he used to listen to a lot of Art Bell. I don't think he really talked about it, but I think he did. Just based on like what stations the radios are often tuned to. So I think he might be into that type of like, I don't know. He's probably knows where all the aliens are at, but I've never really bothered to ask. Phoenix 7726 says, I'm guessing he has a big antenna bolted to the house. Not that I can think of. I Am Canadian says, shortwave, ham, and CB radio is big up here. And that makes a lot of sense because assuming your name is not a lie and you are, in fact, Canadian, and perhaps you are a Canadian who lives out a little further north where stuff is so spread out and there's just so much – like that's the type of radio that gets from city to city or that covers such a large, large area. Sometimes we forget just how big Canada is. I know that seems like such a silly thing to say, but it's so true. Like Canada's pretty fucking huge. And so, you know, it makes sense that a lot of that shortwave and stuff is how you get, and a lot of that applies in Alaska as well. A lot of that same type of logic. So my dad was always kind of into that stuff. Yeah. Ask him if he ever talked to a particular call sign on his ham. I don't think he had a license to operate it. So I don't think he ever talked to people, but I think he listened. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. His other big thing is genealogy. My dad is like huge into genealogy, and I probably shouldn't give away too much, but he like is part of like genealogy groups. So his big this is what always interested him. He loved ways he could scan pictures into the computer, scan documents, add records, Family Tree Maker and those types of programs when they would get new updates and those types of things, how to search for things online at the library and using things like LexisNexis. That's the type of stuff that would make him perk up. He's super into genealogy and that type of stuff. So those are the things that I would associate more than gaming. So Phoenix 7726 says Rob is secretly related to some Dutch nobles or something. Well, I'm actually, my heritage is a large part Dutch. So it's Dutch and it's Scottish, which you could probably see in the beard a little bit. So there you go. Phoenix says, so he's a huge data nerd then. Cool. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. He's definitely a bit of a data nerd. So. All right. Anyway, I don't mind talking about my dad, though. It's Father's Day. Was your dad a gamer, Logie?
He would say no, but then again, he's the one that had all the ColecoVision and like 60 games. So I don't know if it's just because they got that cheap during the video game crash or what, but they were all his games. So I don't know.
Yeah, technically the Commodore 64 was my dad's machine, but I guarantee you I used that machine at the age of like 5 or 6. There's a picture of me out there somewhere, and I've got to find it, and I'll show it on the show sometime. I'm like 5 years old, and I'm 5 years old, and I'm sitting in front of the 64, and I'm typing at it, and I'm looking at a magazine, typing in the thing I see in the magazine. So that's like an early picture of me that exists out there somewhere. So. Yeah, I always use that thing way more than he. And then he would need me to show him how to use like the word processor or something like that. So
I tried typing out stuff that was in a book as well one time. So like I had the TI-85, and then I had like the tape deck that came with it. And because I was, a kid and my parents weren't necessarily familiar with how to, like, technology works, all I was familiar with the tape deck was like I listened to music on this. Like, but somehow this hooks up to the computer. And then so what we ended up doing accidentally is hitting the record button and erasing part of the tape. But the tape was, of course, storage for the programs, you're supposed to hit play, then the computer receives, you know, the analog signal, and it converts it into actual coding language. But I didn't know how any of that worked because, like, it's a tape deck, like, it's music. So I had the book that came with it, though, with all the coding in it, and one of the things I was really interested in was the mini golf game that was in there. It was in BASIC. And then so I didn't really bother typing it into TI BASIC for a while, but I still have that book. And then later on when we got a brand new, you know, was a 386-20 computer, I had QBASIC in DOS, and so I was like, well, this is about this. It's BASIC. It's the same. So I typed it all in, and it didn't work because, no, not all BASIC is the same, even though it has the word BASIC in it. It's not the same programming language. I wish I had more of those magazines around that time, and I wish I understood how that stuff worked because I really wanted to play that mini golf game.
One of these days. All right. Those are some good questions and a fun trip down memory lane. Thanks, you guys, in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. But if Loki is out of last-minute stories, I am too, and I think that means it's time.
One last one, please. Another lead to what we may be getting in game announcements, but apparently this last week, the URL suicidesquadgame.com has been registered. So I guess we should expect a Suicide Squad game to be announced at some point. So we'll have to wait and see.
Interesting.
Pretend to be surprised when they announce it.
All right. Coming soon, maybe. All right. Phoenix7726 says, did that Avengers game get axed? No, it didn't. They push it back. Yeah, they delayed it back. And I think, again, COVID and all that stuff came into play with that as well. So, all right. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for another night here at Orange Lounge Radio and another week on the podcast feed. Thank you guys so much for downloading our show or watching us live, however you participated with the show. We appreciate you guys. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, we can't air all the different thoughts. So a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show, those go an awful long way. Hosting on Twitch, even if you don't do a lot of streaming yourself, host is huge for discoverability, so we super appreciate those of you that host VOG Network. Unfortunately, Twitch took away my ability to see who hosts us at this very moment, so I can't shout you all out individually, but please know I do know people do it because I see in the stats that, oh, so-and-so found your channel through this. So I definitely appreciate you guys that do participate. Thank you with all that and that help us spread the word. With that, it's about time to get everybody's final thoughts. I don't know what else to say. So, Loki, we'll get your final thought, and then we'll wrap up.
My final thought is I probably should work on some of my game, but I'll probably end up playing Minecraft instead. But I really should work on my game.
My final thought is happy Pride this upcoming weekend. I really should have been going to some Pride festival somewhere or something. Actually, this coming weekend, I think, was when I had planned to go to Toronto for Pride, but COVID kind of put a stop to all that. So that unfortunately didn't happen this year because I've never been to Toronto. I would love to do that. So I hope everybody has a happy Pride, however you're celebrating. And I know a lot of people are celebrating by participating in a lot of the protests that are going on. And I think that's great. Obviously, Black Lives Matter. We got to keep reminding people of that, even when the media is kind of moved on to some other topics. This is not something that needs to just go away. We're going to continue to have these conversations. However, again, COVID is also still out there, so do make sure you're wearing your mask and practicing social distancing. But everything I've seen from those protests, they're very well organized with that type of stuff. So kudos and A+ and all that stuff with that. So anyway, that's my thought on that. Thank you guys very much for participating with the show. You guys are awesome. We'll be back here in 7 days to do it all again. Next week is the 18th anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio. We're going to have some new things. You've seen some things for the very last time tonight. So we're gonna freshen up some things under the hood next week, and we'll see you next week to do that. That's it. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Good night, and thanks for participating with OLR. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.